and HD1. And now, alternative programming on HD 2 and 3. KPFT, Houston.
They tried to make me switch to decaf, but I said no, no, no. I like it black till I have panic attacks. I'm on the go, go, go. I would drink shoeshine if it's brewed and has caffeine. I'd rather let you break my kneecap than give up my Jojo. I may not sleep for several days, but I love strong cafe. So don't try to preach me peach tea. And you can toss your half and half away. A latte gives me lots of class. Not to mention really bad gas, but I'm not gonna switch to decaf. I tell you, no. When you're out of whack, it's better than cracking H2O. Psychosis is divine when you need adrenaline, so you can shove your herbal tea bag and go with the flow. My friends ask, does Starbucks have you in arrears? I say, yeah, I got diarrhea. But coffee doesn't make me jittery, manic, hyper, annoyingly fast, talky, obsessive, compulsive, or crazy. And what's wrong with being a consentian? They say espresso's got me stressed. Kiss my ass when I said I'll rest, but I'm not gonna switch to decaf. I tell you, no. A slight cardiac can help a girl kick back before a show. I think I look fine with these big brown teeth of mine. So thank you kindly for your feedback. Now you can go.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the June 4th edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Happy Pride Month!
Ta-da!
My name is Chris Harris. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest-running co-executive
co-executive producer of this show.
Did you get your polygrip and preparation H confused again?
It could happen.
Wes is out doing God knows what.
Oh, and let me be the last one to wish him a happy birthday.
No, I ain't the last one. Oh, are you going in there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I got to push that button now. That red... Oh, that's why. Jimmy always feels better under the red light.
Going there too?
I guess.
Okay.
He's grabbing that one.
Ew. Pull this one. That's too
good. I'm in here because it's cooler.
It's 74 degrees in here.
Is it ever?
On this side.
Mm-hmm. That's what they tell you.
Thermometer up there says. We have a packed show tonight. Uh-huh. We've got the Cold 45s. We have Stage Door and Hatch coming up.
We do.
Yep. So.
Whew. That's a lot. We won't be playing as much music as we did last week, huh?
There. It's a flashing light over there. It was bothering me.
Oh, I hate those flashing lights.
Yeah, no, we...
They're hell for an epileptic.
It was a flashing pattern. No, it wasn't flashing that fast.
Oh.
I'll keep turning off your mic. Turn off the mic so the red light flashes for you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That's just what I need.
It's good radio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I gotta be
careful. As my eyes roll back in my head.
Yeah, I gotta be careful. The last time we had a bunch of flapping around in that studio there, we got 4 weeks off.
Yeah, we...
Sorry.
He went there.
Not without tongs and some surgical gauze.
Oh, my. How was your week, by the way? Must have been pretty good, considering how you are tonight.
No, it's my usual. With being a short week, for those who work, it was...
It was a short week?
Yeah, Monday was a holiday.
No kidding. What was it?
Memorial Day.
What do you know?
No,
of course I know.
I mean, no, it was... The normal crap, different week.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way it usually is there. So, hey, yeah, I look at it this way. Friday came, my foot's still attached, and I'm supposedly going back on Monday. So
wow.
That's something.
Well, we almost got our carport back.
Almost.
Almost. Almost.
Monday.
Yes, Michael from the show here got a truckload of stuff for the spaying and neutering deal he's got going with, and the PWA folks, no, the Carrie, yeah, and Chris came over.
Well, it's Carrie and Chris. They're doing the PWA.
And they had
sale tomorrow.
More than a truckload of stuff.
Actually, I think Carrie had a table in her lap when they left.
It was really precarious looking in the back there.
I was so glad I wasn't following him.
I know.
On the road.
He said he was going to take the back streets home.
And he knows where they all are.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does.
We had a house full of beautiful people today.
We did.
It was scary even for me.
We had the electric done. We got almost the carport back. And wow.
It's amazing.
And they'll be moving in a week and a half.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well,
I
finished
thing on the air.
I'm living in
there. Yeah,
the
he's living
now.
There. He just hasn't moved yet.
I just haven't moved in. Figure that one out.
Don't even go there.
You have to give the 77006 up, Jimmy.
I know. I'm just right across the fence in 77005.
Kind of like Stalag 13, right, yeah, across the fence.
Yeah.
Jimmy, that's not a fence. It's called a freeway.
Well,
there's a fence on it.
We're the poor people in a rich neighborhood.
No, I don't think we're the poorest people in the rich neighborhood. Trust me.
Okay.
We are not the poor white trash.
Yeah.
Pink.
Not anymore. The house is pink.
The house is pink, that's right.
Yes.
And has a Texas star on it.
And has a big old 6-foot Texas star
Such
right above the
deal.
Porch.
Right next
Who
to
can
the,
argue with that?
Right next to the deck that's going to be the beer bar.
Yeah.
I love that story.
And then got the stained glass in.
Got the stained glass in,
got
yeah.
Stained glass
that
in.
Was the last of your outward decorating schemes, themes.
Mm-hmm. Now, all we have left is landscaping.
And packing you and moving you.
Well, that.
Oh, there is
there
that.
There is that.
There
yeah.
is that. It's your house, and both Tootsie and I are moved, but You haven't even packed yet.
I know.
Of course, I'm not moved in, so.
It takes a while, especially when you're...
slow.
And old.
Older.
Yeah, you know,
there are jobs that need to be done, and you think 30 years ago I would have, you know, there would have been a snap, but I don't think so.
No, 30 years ago you would have picked up a couple of tricks to do it for you.
10 years ago they'd have been a snap. 3 years ago they were better, but now it's
now
like,
we hire people.
Hello. But that's okay. We hire beautiful people.
We do.
Yes.
And when he bends over...
I could care less.
I feel 30 years younger. Or what? Maybe that's, I wish I was 30 years
younger.
Yeah,
there you go.
Okay.
No, you were feeling something that was 30 years younger.
See, Chris, you got him started.
You did.
Well, the funny thing is that he started thinking about the guy, then the drool started, and that's what he choked on.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've got quite a few things going on in the community.
I know, you hinted
it me. It is Pride Month.
Table.
Hello. Yes.
I've been studying my Pride homework, too.
Have you?
If you have an extra 5 minutes at the end of the show.
Okay.
I can feel it.
Oh, boy. And I know what with.
We have five grand marshals this year.
No, we have six, actually.
Six. That's right.
Four we voted on,
yeah.
And two that just kind of popped up there.
Poof. Yeah.
I think one is servicemen.
No, I suggested that was a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it, but I don't believe it for a minute.
And the other one, that's the first one that you're going to see. The second one you're going to see
well,
is
you
another
go there
one
now?
You didn't vote on, which was Jonathan Lovitz.
Yes. He is the New York Logo TV of something squad, paid.
Set up squad.
Yeah, paid entertainer this year. And he gets to go ahead of our voted on.
Oh, okay. We paid money for this person to come down here. And
that's funny. When my friend Jade Esteban Estrada, who's right here from Texas, San Antonio,
mm-hmm.
and is internationally known for his entertaining abilities and mm-hmm. so on, been on TV many, many times, etc. He wasn't called Grand Marshal when he was entertaining down here.
No, he wasn't, as a matter of fact.
Duh. And he didn't go ahead of the Grand Marshals in the parade.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I have a real quick question, seriously.
Yeah.
When did we fall back into the late 80s and start changing our name every year from GLBT to LGBT to GLBT to LGBT from GLBT to LGBT? We are the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Parade this year. That was a fight in the 80s when it was only Lesbian and Gay and Gay and
you
Lesbian.
Know, like I've been,
I know, I was there for the fight.
I know, I was there for
I'm
the fight.
I'm still fighting it.
If you're under 40...
Oh, bull, don't give me that.
It's LGBT. If you're over 40, it's GLBT.
No, it depends if it's a lesbian or a man. If it's a lesbian in charge, it starts with an L. If it's a man in charge, it starts with a G.
That, too, my dear, is bull, because I happen to be one of those. Mm-hmm. It's GLBT, and there's a reason for that. It's historical. There's a reason for that.
Yes.
It started with the caucus. The caucus was a gay political caucus
mm-hmm.
for years and years and years. We fought, and I mean we, because I was there with Sue Lovell and everybody else doing this, Phyllis Fried, the whole nine yards. We fought to get lesbians in the name because mm-hmm. we were doing as much as they were.
Mm-hmm.
They finally agreed to put us in the name. So then it became the Gay and Lesbian Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, after that, Pride finally followed through. And instead of gay Pride, it was gay and lesbian Pride. Well, we kept fighting the fight, and mm-hmm. we fight a good fight. So they agreed that finally we would do lesbian and gay 1 year, gay and lesbian the next, lesbian and gay 1 year, gay and lesbian the next.
That.
And then in 1988, up jumped the devil. They didn't want to put anything, so they actually put lesbian and gay on the shirt sleeve
on
of
the
T-shirt.
On the shirt sleeve, yes.
It did not belong on the body of the shirt,
and
where
I
people
think,
might accidentally read it.
Did you have, and did you have an option of buying one without
the sleeve.
Yes.
So,
well, 88 people were still closeted.
Yeah. So, you know, by 90,
mm-hmm.
we had actually come into the 20th century, and we became the GLBT Pride. I think it was 90. It may have been 91. So we became GLBT, and we've been GLBT Pride ever since. But it all started with the caucus fight and the lesbians out there doing the fighting. Isn't it always a lesbian who has to start the fight?
they do in the parking lot.
Except that don't sound like one. Well, it was a parking lot, only in this particular case it was a hotel over on... remember the...
I remember that.
That's right.
With the bar in the back.
Hello, the big bar in the back, which is why we almost lost the battle. Oh, shut up. Location. But that's why it's been GLBT in Houston all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge piece of our history. And I really resent it when people change our history because, oh, it's more polite. Oh, it's bull.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hello.
And actually this year they're saying LGBT.
I know.
Or just calling up the Pride Parade.
There's no pride in Pride. Trust me. Now they can just call it the parade.
That will say for the last 5 minutes.
Okay.
Let's get on to events going on in the community.
You knew I was coming tonight.
Oh, yeah. And it was my own fault.
Loaded for mayor.
I started it.
They don't show the sixth one you're talking about on their website. They do show five, though, that they talk about. They've got a big picture of...
Jonathan Levitz?
Yeah.
Well, who's the one...
There's one above it. There's one before it.
There's one before him.
I happen to have it.
Yeah, on the official website, all they have is Celebrity Grand Marshal Jonathan Levitz with a big open picture shirt of him.
See, on their website, they have that. And they don't even say who he is or what he's all about.
Yeah.
On the mandatory meeting tonight, all you get is...
Not tonight, but...
Well, on the mandatory meeting.
Yeah.
All it says is Grand Marshal. Jonathan D. Levitz. It doesn't say anything special about who he is, where he is, who he's from, where he's from. If they'd said big paid celebrity from New York, Levitz, I'd have said, "Oh, that's who it is." But they don't say that on the lineup at the mandatory meeting.
On the website, it says it lists him above the other Grand Marshal.
Oh yes.
And then what is the one before him?
The one before him is number six on their lineup. It's Grand Marshal, serve with pride, march with honor. That's all it says.
I know.
And I haven't been able to find anything.
That's
anywhere.
An entry.
Yeah, that's an entry. That's just before Mr. Levitz gets on.
Okay.
Before all the real Grand Marshals come.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi,
guys.
Okay. Whoa.
The girls on the road tonight.
The GLBT Community Center News. That's what they say. Okay. GLBT.
It's because it's Tim Brookover and we love each other.
Okay. The center is honored to have been voted the organizational grand marshal of the 2011 Pride Parade. During this exceptionally proud month, the center is preparing for a number of special events. Saturday, June the 11th, Grand Marshal Fundraiser for Pride. The center joins its fellow 2011 Grand Marshals in hosting the 6 to 8 p.m. event at a private residence, which benefits Pride Houston. There's an admission charge, and it includes an open bar and light horse ovaries.
I just hate those horse ovaries.
I know.
Ew. They're chewy.
Thursday, June the 16th, The Temperamentals. The opening night performance of this acclaimed drama, which recounts the story of the formation of the Mattachine Society, the first gay rights organization in the nation, will benefit the center. Theater New West is producing the Southwest premiere of the John Marin's play, presented in the recital room of Dowling Music, 2615 Southwest Freeway at Kirby. That's a pretty good address. Curtain time for the benefit performance is 7:30. General, these are 501c3 people. So, general admission tickets are $25, 20 for seniors, and that would be 62 and over.
Okay.
Yes.
That's right.
And you missed out. And students with ID.
Shut up, Chris.
Reservations at 713-522-2204. Yes, because I...
Qualify.
Yes.
No, I was not...
He wasn't laughing your comment.
No. I was reading something on the Pride Houston website, trying to figure out what the organization she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a thing in here about a military group that came and spoke to them at an event. And... Hand to Goddess at the 1-hour meeting led by Marine Corps Major General Hummer.
Oh, my. He'd be very popular in the Pride Parade.
That's probably who's number one there.
That's why I was laughing so hard. Something they're going. So they had a Major General Hummer at the.
So yes.
So continue on while I.
Great. So we got
the community center is going to be like number 11 in the Pride Parade, just before the three Eagle Hoosies.
Well, yeah, the trucks. The male, female. Yeah, male, female, and.
Well, they're number 10 on the parade. Oh. 11 on the parade. That's what I'm saying. They're the 11th entry.
Do you know where we are?
No, I can tell you in a minute, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Saturday, June 18th, Pride Houston opening ceremonies. As one of the 2011 Grand Marshals, the center will participate in this 5:30 to 7 p.m. event in Jones Plaza, 600 Louisiana. Saturday, June the 26th, That would be the day after. No, that's
the day of the parade.
That is
my
the
dear.
Day of the parade.
Thank you.
Wow.
Okay.
Lawrence versus Texas commemoration and scholarship presentation. Every year, the center holds a celebration to mark the anniversary of the date of the Supreme Court announced its landmark Lawrence versus Texas decision, which overturned anti-gay sodomy laws in the United States. For the second year, the center will also present the John Lawrence and Tyrone Gardner scholarship to a GLBT student pursuing higher education. There is no admission charge for the 5-7 reception at the center. Okay. And the other thing I want to... That's way ahead. I'm going to announce this last. So I think Chris is next.
Oh, I am? Okay.
You have the June 5th stuff, don't you, right on top?
Yeah, and I got some other stuff here.
Okay.
Also with June 5th. Mother of Montrose invites you to the PWA Spring Yard Sale on Sunday.
Sunday.
June 5th from noon to 4 p.m. Over at Tony's Corner Pocket.
Now, that's a great time for a garage sale, yard sale. Noon to 4, yes. Who the hell wants to get up at 6:30?
The people putting it together.
Following them at starting at 3 o'clock, also over at Tony's Corner Pocket, is the Houston Area Bears monthly beer bust.
Yes.
Benefits GCAM.
No, actually, there's a.
It does benefit GCAM. Correct.
It does. They haven't had their meeting yet to vote you out.
Ooh.
Haven't they?
Not yet. No. We're still here. We're good through the summer.
You still have it from a month.
Good through the summer.
If I what little
September,
I
think, is that meeting.
Yeah, what little I know of that.
And then there's a show after that.
During that.
Actually, it starts at 5.
It's Chris's calendar. Leave him alone.
Okay.
Hold on.
Do you have the show?
I don't see a
Ms. Gay Pride. Jen.
Yeah.
Is doing a show during the. The Bear Social.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's her birthday show. Either.
Okay. Also on June 5th from 6 to 8 p.m. over at JR's, a Sister Screamers benefit.
JR's?
Yeah. That's what I said last week when you handed it to me.
Yeah, I know.
It's still
surprising.
Does not compute. There'll be the Screamers, I guess, is their softball team.
Yes.
Let us hope.
Well, they got big bats. Raffle prizes, 50-50 raffle, jello shots, and a bat raffle valued at over $200. Batteries not included.
Just be a nice bat.
I've seen pictures of that.
Does it fly?
No, bats.
Over at EJ's on Sunday.
Sunday.
From 2 to 6 p.m., there is a Hatch Sliders and Sides Throwdown event.
Sliders and sides Throwdown?
Yeah.
Wow, when is this?
This is on Sunday.
Sunday! Oh, we did that.
Okay. From 2 to 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
After that, starting from 6 to 9 p.m., is a benefit for Hatch called Guys and Dolls.
G-Y-S-E?
G-U-I-S-E.
Yeah.
Guys and Dolls. Show featuring live performers and many of the contestants from Pride Superstar 2011, mixed with a splash of drag.
Mm-hmm.
Hosted by Ty Blue and Marsha Mello.
Oh.
Splash of drag, Marsha Mello.
Yeah.
Splash and drag. Hello. Drag will be splashing out all over.
Egg is splashing out all over.
Also on June 5th from 8 to 11 p.m. over at George Country Sports Bar, Tap Out Tunes by the Royal Court.
Yeah.
So that's 11th, so I can go back to this one here. Don't miss the Hatch Prom on
the 19th?
10th. Friday, June 10th from 7 to midnight over at the GLBT Cultural Center, 401 Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
More information on that when the hatchlings...
Yeah, when they show, when they're here. Yeah. Actually, they have been. They are here already.
The Houston Pride Band presents Americana, music of the people, by the people, for the people, on Saturday, June 11th, 7:30 over at Zilka Hall at the Hobby Center, 800 Bagby. Tickets available at HoustonPrideBand.org.
And they're very reasonable.
Oh.
We should really support the band because they really do make good music. I've been listening to them for years, and every year now they have been improving. They're really good.
Does that mean we're going?
Yes, we are going.
Okay.
One more thing on Sunday, June 5th.
Sunday?
Which I think they'll talk about here in a little bit. They're Boas and Bolas, a birthday bash for the AIDS Trouble Fund, which I'll let him talk about.
Oh, yes, I think we'll be talking about that in just a few minutes.
There's a couple of words that just don't sound right together. BRB and Sloppy Joes.
Well, it depends on who you are. You can get away with a lot of...
On Saturday, June 11th from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m., it's Oshiite 5.
Mm.
Take off the E. This is for the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Court, a single star. A fun show where the DJ gets to decide who performs next, and the performer doesn't have any warning.
Oh, that's nice.
That'll be
no cigarette breaks.
Yeah, really.
DJs. Wednesday, June 15th, the Houston Council of Clubs will be having voting on the pin and poster contest for Louis 39.
Already?
Yay.
Yes. We need a logo.
It's been around a while.
The contest is open to everyone in the community.
Mm-hmm.
The pin must contain or incorporate a comedy and tragedy mask. It has to say Louis or Let Us Entertain You. It has to say, 39 or 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Say Houston, Texas. Simple design, producing the colors of gold, green, and purple, except for the gold to be the metal of the pin. Poster must say Houston Council of Clubs, recognize Louis 39 or Louis 2012. Poster can be anything pertaining to Louis, but must be street legal.
No.
For more information, you go to louisweekend.com. All the rules are up there, and the email link to send it to me.
Does this mean that, after next Louis, they're going to be 39 for another 10 years?
Oh, Lord,
no.
I hope not.
I'm looking forward to be able to say it's going to be Louis extra large. For XL. I think Roman numerals confused us in the group.
Yeah, thank.
Friday, June 17th, over at Tony's Corner Pocket, Reese's is holding Because We Said So. Annual Board of Directors show where the board picks the songs for the performers as revenge. The performers pick the songs for the board members.
Ooh, that's nasty.
That's Friday the 17th from 8 to 11 p.m.
Ooh, you don't miss that one.
I guess that's further along the way there. I'll do that one later.
Okay.
On Sunday, June 19th.
Sunday!
The Mr. and Miss Gaio 2011.
Oh, really?
We'll be over at Meteor.
Mm-hmm.
It's from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Oh, my God.
On that.
That is some lively music.
Man, 9 to 2?
Yeah, it's always late.
That's like...
like a radio show. Oops, excuse me. I'm
looking
sorry. That's your computer time.
Looking further ahead, the Noche de Gallo, a black tie affair on Friday, June 24th, starting at 7 p.m.
Oh, that's the biggie.
That's happening over at Carpenter's Hall.
Mm-hmm.
For more information, check Gallo Houston.
Get your tux cleaned, honey.
Is that going to be an org or a... I think it's Gallo Houston. G-A-L-L-O.
Mm-hmm.
Houston. Give them a check out on there.
Okay.
Judy's going to do the art show?
Yes.
Yes.
Why, do you have it?
Surprise. It's in his computer.
It was pulled up. We did this one time while you were gone. We didn't download any of the stuff
at
the time. So basically, we went to our Facebook page and I went through all the invites that we've been sent. And I'm just reading it off the screen.
After hours has
Why am I printing these out every week?
Because some of these we don't get through our Facebook
page.
Maybe that should be a requirement. Send it to us and we'll read it.
Well, it works too, but then, you know, with our luck, that's the time the computer goes down on us.
Yeah. So to speak.
After Hours comes into the 21st century with paperless calendars.
Yeah, right.
I hate computers.
But that's the way you can contact us at Facebook / After Hours. So I'm done with my...
I was so proud of me. I never said anything on Facebook like that before tonight.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
You'll all be getting yours.
Oh. I've heard that before.
And from her, and from Judy, too.
Your picture's my pretty.
No. Okay, your turn.
Okay, and if you care, After Hours, I'm assuming that's the KPFT float.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is, I can't believe this. They made y'all number 70. Could you not have been 69?
Who do I bump off?
There was probably a fight for 69.
You can bump off one of the, I don't know.
Who's 69?
You can knock off one of the Silver Eagles. They have three entries, so that would nobody would miss it. Who is 69? Oh, you are taxing old eyeballs. Jungle.
Lust.
I don't think that says lust.
Okay.
I don't think it says jungle either. Anyway. Does anybody have good eyes and bad eyes?
Okay, I've got glasses.
Right there.
Special
number
glasses.
Number 69.
Can you read it?
Oh, please. Give me a break, girl.
Jennifer Renee Poole.
Oh, Jennifer Renee Poole. Ah, cool.
That kind of looks like jungle.
It did. At 59, no. At 61, yes. Okay. My turn. Mine pile's big. Okay, hi all. Wanted to announce that on June 19th, Father's Day at the BRB at 7 p.m., Christopher Garrett, King Father to Emperor Scott and myself, Gerald McNeil, King Father to Empress Lillian, will be hosting an annual Aresis Father's Day show. We plan a great time for all and a special invite to everyone that would like to perform and those we love to cheer us on. Come out and enjoy a great evening. More details to follow. Gerald, Emperor 13, and Christopher, Emperor 21. I guess that was a teaser to get it on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that works. Aurora Breyer's summer camp shows.
Oh, that ought to be good.
Sunday.
She's so nasty.
Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
June 12th at 7 p.m. at the BRB, 2400 Brazos. Oh, it's got little bitty print. Oh, limited tables for sale, $100 each.
Mm-hmm.
Contact Aurora Breyer. Okay. This is for the PWA Holiday Charities. Ooh. And it shows a picture of gingers. No,
it does look like ginger.
It does. So, that's going to be on Sunday, June 12th. Ricky D. Gill, Mr. Gay Pride Houston 2011, presents Hot...
Help her out there.
I'm supposed to be able to read that? It's funky print, is what it is.
It is Hot Cowboy Disco Night.
Bless your little heart.
Hot Cowboy Disco Night.
I would expect you to be able to play that. Well, it's written in a disco ball in funny print.
Hot Cowboy Disco. It just doesn't
those
compete.
Those are funky cowboys.
Does not compete.
So, cowboy up and boogie down.
It's a cowboy.
Oh.
That's scary.
Mm.
It's on Friday, July 15th. July 15th, Jimmy.
Sorry.
At 10:30 p.m. at the BRB. I think we'll be hearing more about this.
Yeah, I get
this
that.
This is for a holiday charity.
Okay.
Okay. Let me look at dates before I read
them.
Oh. Little bit of country and a little bit of rock and roll. Show hosted by candidate for Mr. TGRA 2012, Jody Travis, on Friday, June 17th at 10 p.m. at the BRB. All proceeds to benefit TGRA Houston, a nonprofit 501c3. And it's got all kinds of little logos on here.
Mm-hmm.
So, TGRA, Colts, Assisters, IGRA. Okay. Ooh, here's a good one. Please join GCAM for Eros, Men and Abstracts.
Ooh.
Yes. Got nice pictures.
Men and Abstracts?
Yes. Well, you know, men are easy to, never mind, distract. But I don't know about abstract.
Okay.
Saturday, June 18th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Mixed Emotions Fine Art Gallery, 95-2 AM. It's a 77006, Jimmy, so you can come.
Yeah, I know.
Complimentary valet parking is available, and 20% of all proceeds will be donated to GCAM. This is art that's being done by Daniel Houston, who spent most of his adult life doing corporate art in the abstract and is hung in many office buildings and homes, etc.
I'm glad she finished that.
Me too. And he's hung.
I've met the man. Trust me. Anyway, after putting his fourth child through college and watching her graduate, he decided to break into a new era of his art.
Yeah.
And he's doing erotic art of both male and female types. This is going to be the first of three shows. This is going to be Eros Men, and he will also have some of his abstracts there. We've seen a lot of his art, and this guy has some talent.
He really
He's really good.
When I looked at his stuff, I could not believe a straight man did it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's
amazing, the emotion in these pictures. And you can look at 8 or 9 of them and tell us about it later. I know they're not great.
There'll be a test.
On purpose that way. Anyway, so yes, do not miss that. GCAM will be staffing the bar with beer and wine and hors d'oeuvres for the evening, 6 to 9 p.m. And it is within walking distance of
several
bars, plus Meteor, et cetera. So when you leave there, you can go do that, or you can go do the Pride kickoff, or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But come see the art and buy a little bit first.
Yeah.
Okay. About Magazine, June 18th, 6 to 9 p.m., Men to Men, M2M, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You gave me all the bad print.
I know.
Presents the official launch party.
Yes.
I'm assuming this is for Pride.
And that's at their store.
This is an event for Pride. This is a kickoff for Pride.
It's an event.
Yeah.
No, it's for the magazine.
Oh, it's from the magazine.
About.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do I know? It's also 18th is kickoff for Pride, so I just assumed.
Who knew?
I should never assume. It's for the magazine.
Yes.
Okay. Jimmy knows more about these because he does in-depth studies before he prints them and hands them to me when I walk in the door and didn't expect to do anything.
Not really.
Mark your calendars for the super-duper Pride-tacular Center Seniors and Friends Potluck on Tuesday, June 22nd at 6:30 p.m. As always, the venue is the fabulous Fellowship Hall at Bethel Church UCC, 1107 Shepherd at Center. In addition to the delish supper, there will be door prizes, Pride merchandise, and gas gift cards. Oh, that's worth going just for the car gas, not for the dinner gas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes, you read that right. With gas at nearly $4 a gallon, you wouldn't like a chance to win a gift card for your petrol. Hope to see you in June. P.S. The Center Seniors and Friends Potluck always takes place on the third Tuesday of the month. Join us and bring your friends. That's from President and Board of Directors of the Center for Houston GLBT Community Center, Tim Brookover.
I can tell by the writing.
All painted up and ready for show. GLBT 2011 Pride Show, Friday, June 24th, 2011 at 8:30 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. This show is open to all performers with Pride. And it's been benefiting
the Pride Committee.
No.
Oh.
PWA Holiday Charity.
Oh.
Interesting.
Boy, they're getting a lot of shows this month, aren't they?
Yeah. We already covered this, didn't we? Gaio?
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, so we can pass on that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On Sunday.
Sunday.
July 10th at 7 p.m. at the BRB.
That blow your ear out.
with MC Don Gill and Anne Marie Gill and Marsha Mink and Gill with special guest MC Fiona Dawson.
Wow.
A Christmas in July burlesque.
Barlesque.
I'm sorry, I read words like they're supposed to be. I'm one of those weird people.
Yeah, yeah.
Directed by David Sawyer. It's a PWA Holiday Charities event benefiting the AIDS Trouble Fund clients.
And
you can find out more at www.brbhouston.com. Nice picture.
Nice. It's very nice. You should see it in color.
Oh, yeah. I forget you have a 19th century printer.
No, it's I just don't put the color ink
in.
Because,
because you don't.
I print these out every week.
I know. You're
so good. And then throw them away.
I know, but see, Chris can look at them in color on the computer.
Good for him.
Some of them. Those who send it to the After Hours Facebook
page.
That's
right. That's right. Everything's Facebook.
You can also, well, you can also go on the GCAM Facebook page and see about our event, the art show.
What do people do? Just go down a list of 50 people they know and go to their Facebook pages every day?
Some people do that. I don't.
No, you just love
whatever hits my page, I read.
Mm-hmm.
Just or to everybody.
Whatever hits my page, I choose to read or not.
Oh.
We need to, we need to talk about Facebook in a little while, but not on the air.
Okay.
Okay,
oh,
I'm done.
Boy. Well, I guess we're going to be talking.
Okay. It's a shame of having
it's
a roommate.
It's time to bring the Colts in.
Hello, Colts.
Hello.
Hello.
Like that.
Hey,
they haven't been.
Judy, can you rotate?
I'll just get closer.
Okay. We can share.
We can rotate.
Is this not working?
What, number four doesn't work?
Or you want me to shut up?
No, you can take number four. And yes, but...
And let me ask you a question. When was the last time you had any luck shutting me up? Other than turning off my mic.
Well, there is that.
There is that. Okay. Hi, I'll shut up now.
Okay. So who do we have tonight?
I know them both.
Well, pick one. Actually, we have Mr. Corwin with us this evening, the Vice President of the Colts.
Ah, yeah. And you are?
Of course, I am Eric, or Boo Boo Stutes.
Where did the boo boo come from?
Oh, that's a long story. That's for the last 5 minutes of the show.
Okay.
Ooh, we're in competition.
Do I need to get the dump button ready for that one?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
But anyway, we've got some exciting things coming
you
up.
You do. You really do.
This year is actually our 35th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are kicking that off starting tomorrow, which is Sunday.
Sunday.
At the BRB, we'll be having our Boas and Bolos show starting at 7 o'clock, open to all performers. And we've got also some new and exciting things. And I know, Corwin, you said you want to make sure that Miss Judy got one.
Yep.
Judy got one. Oh, my God.
What? Yeah, and one for Jimmy.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Thank you
goodness.
So much.
Those are our new 35-year pins.
That is fabulous.
I'm excited.
Oh, thank
I know.
You
so am I.
That's
gorgeous.
I never get a new pin.
I will wear this with pride.
I got things I'll rip really, off my really, vest for this.
That's going
well. I know.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is we ordered it and got them on time. So that's a good thing.
You know, that in and of itself, it says a lot, you know.
Well, wow. You see, I printed this off from Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Judy, I'm sure you can read that.
Yes, the Colt 45s do have their own Facebook page as well.
But, you know, and it started out the whole page, and I made it a half a page, and you still can't read it. These things are so small on Facebook.
Size queen.
Well,
this is lovely. I'm glad you know it, so you don't have to depend on this to read.
Yes,
you know, the most important words I can read. Don't forget to register.
Don't forget to register.
I can read that.
Oh.
We will be registering folks tomorrow, starting at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That would be p.m.
Yes.
P.m.
Okay,
7 p.m. We're not doing 6 a.m.
Okay. Neither am I.
So please come out and enjoy the Sloppy Joes.
Oh.
At the BRB.
Tommy C's already spinning around behind the bar.
And, of course, we'll also have a reception that will be hosted by PWA Holiday Charities.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move on throughout the week, and we move on to Friday. And you want to talk about that, Mr. Corwin?
Friday. What are we doing Friday? Friday we're doing...
I love it.
Friday, we're
going to
be over. Actually, we're going to be over at George's Friday night.
Oh,
yes, and we're going to be putting on a show.
Uh-huh.
We've already got some really good entertainers lined up, but it is open to anyone who would like to come and perform for us.
Cool.
And we're going to be having, I think, Friday night. We're doing dips and chips. over there, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
I've been to Georgia. There are quite a few tips over there.
Yes.
Hey. Now, simmer down. I work over there.
Yes.
He can hurt you with a look.
And that's going to start at...
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Oh.
It starts at 7. Show starts at 8,
okay.
Right? Yes. And goes on till whenever we get over at the show.
Yep.
And then Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be over at Tony's Corner Pocket. And Saturday night is more of a just a social, just for the Colts to get together with all their friends. And we'll give out our Colt awards to our Colt members that we give out every year.
Mm.
You know, the fun
yeah.
ones.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I love these. Yeah.
Yes, Drunk of the Year, you know, and all those kind of good ones.
I really love Slut of the Year.
Slut of the Year.
We're bound to know them both.
They're usually the same person.
Yeah, well, but not always.
Actually, this year they're not.
There you
surprise,
go.
Surprise.
Not really.
So, yeah, definitely. And then on Friday, over at Georgia's, mm-hmm. Aresis will be hosting a reception for us.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, how nice.
And on Saturday at Tony's, mm-hmm. Sundance Cattle Company will be hosting a reception
no
for
kidding.
Us.
No kidding. That's great.
All right.
So it's going to be a packed week.
Yeah.
And the cost of our run for the beautiful run pen and everything else is please make a donation.
You're kidding.
No. We're going to let people make up their minds what they think it's worth, and they can make a donation for the weekend. And we just mainly want to have a party and have fun with all of our friends in the community.
Well, I think the Colts are priceless.
Well, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
I like really the people, do. Too.
Yeah.
Not just what they do. I like
they're
the
good
people.
Folk.
It is good down-to-earth people.
We're a small group, but we work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I love you. I want a fixed income.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, as Corwin said, we're a small group, but we are growing, mm-hmm. and yes. we're accepting new members, you know, all the time.
I'll still do the hazing thing.
We don't haze.
Well, no. You can call it what you want.
Well, we do have pledge ships, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. Mainly because we want to make sure that the people really want to be a cult and be with some of us.
Exactly. You know,
some people decide they really don't want to be with us or vice versa. Mm-hmm. But,
right.
So, it's just a 3-month pledge ship, which basically you come to the meetings during those 3 months and you help out and everybody gets to vote on you afterwards and then you become a member. We very rarely turn down people.
And again, it's an exciting time right now because when we have pledges, we're limited to 5 pledges at a time.
I saw that. Yes.
And
I saw that
we have
in the bylaws.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have 3. 2 of them just became
wow.
Actual members.
Great.
Yep. So we are growing, which is a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
We're trying to get out and be more social and do more social work as well, besides just the fundraising mm-hmm. and our ATF charity that we do
well,
as well.
The more people, the less work per person.
Well, this is true.
That's
yes.
true.
Or the more you can do.
This
there
is
you
true,
go.
Too.
Yes, you can do more.
And, of course, as Corwin mentioned, you know, the AIDS Trouble Fund, we're out there assisting folks that have AIDS
mm-hmm.
with rental and utility assistance. If they're interested and like to go out to our website, they can actually download an application.
Mm-hmm.
And either mail that into our P.O. box or drop it by the BRB at 2400 Brazos.
And that, how do we get to that website?
That would be www.colt45s.org.
And please go check it out. We've made a lot of changes recently.
Oh, really?
So if you have been there, go back and
I haven't been
see
in
all
now, the,
to tell you the
truth.
New changes we've been making. We've got a new webmaster, and he's really doing a lot of good work on that site.
And just to clarify, that's 4-5. The number is not spelled out.
Correct.
Yes,
4-5.
For sure.
Yeah, 4-5-S.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No apostrophe.
No. Try it, I dare
you. I know. Then.
Well, you know, some people just spell it out. They don't know that
right.
on the radio.
Yeah.
So.
But you can also get our membership application out there as well.
Yeah,
can you?
Yes.
So.
Oh.
Yeah, so. If,
hand, hand.
You know, anyone wants to join... Go out there.
It's a great organization.
I did want to bring up tomorrow, TGRA is actually having breakfast tacos at George's.
Really?
Starting at 10.
Oh, my God.
They will have their regular meeting at noon, and then followed by that, a bake sale.
No kidding.
And I bring that up because we are actually one of the beneficiaries with TGRA this year.
Yes.
Ah, yes, you are. Yes. And a bake sale. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
When
girl,
does that start?
I love you. You have plans.
Oh, I go crazy at a bake sale.
Yes, he does.
It should start shortly after 1.
Okay.
Oh, well, see, you don't have to be over at the Tony's till 3.
Yeah.
Damn.
But doing a show until 4 in the morning. And
that 8 a.m. bedtime will kill you.
Yeah, I know. I know. The adrenaline's still going. I can't get to sleep till 7 or 8 in the morning. And, whew.
What's your excuse the rest of the week? Oh, I'm sorry.
Ouch.
Yeah, we were very fortunate. TGRA selected us, and they also selected us sisters.
Yes, they did.
And they have been really going out there, working hard, raising good funds, and, you know, I can't say enough good things, you know, appreciative of what they do for the community.
They chose my two favorite groups in our community. Absolutely.
That's good. Yeah. I like that.
Both do good work, all volunteer, don't get federal money, you know, it's all the generosity of the community.
Correct.
And it's just phenomenal what you guys can do.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So, what do we talk about now?
I don't know, we've still got 2 minutes.
How's Mikey? Is he still in a sling?
He's still in a sling.
I mean, the one on his arm.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, the one on the arm. We're not talking about the other one.
No hazing, okay.
Well, that's true. He is a pledge.
Yes.
That's the first thing I noticed when we walked in.
What kind of hazing do you do?
Oh, we raised him on the phone for that one.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Come on, join, become a member, and you too can have a sling.
Well, that certainly wasn't a selling point for some of us.
Yes.
Yes.
I'll get the hooks in the ceiling.
What do you need the hooks in the ceiling for?
I am just a contractor for that.
Heck, I carry mine in a bag. It's portable.
Oh, really?
We have a caller just wanted to check and see.
Mm-hmm.
Of the genders in the Colt 45s, it's open to
men and women.
Men and women, yes. Mm-hmm. We have several females that are members at this time.
I knew that.
And one who can never quit because she bakes so well.
Yeah. And that's a great question, though.
I'm just trying to do a few bakes without the alcohol, then we'll be in good shape. I'll buy more.
Well, she's making a cake for for the Colts 45's 35th for tomorrow at the BRB. Mm-hmm. So. And it won't have alcohol in it.
Mm.
No rum hidden.
It's Chris who does the...
No, she does. She does a lot of alcohol.
I
just do brownies.
Oh.
You know, I asked her, I said, it's like, okay, does the bread pudding have alcohol in it? Because, you know, one thing she says, oh, no. I was like, okay, so I go get this bread pudding, which my mouth is just watering, and I put this sauce on it, you know, the
lemon
sauce had alcohol. You didn't ask about that.
It's part of the dessert. So Jimmy had 2 helpings.
I did. I did.
With a straw.
And I broke a 35-year okay.
Well, I can't drink either because I'm epileptic. But you know,
don't stop yourself from
when you cook with liquor, the alcohol burns
not
off.
Not in a lemon sauce, my sweet.
Yeah, not in some of the stuff because it's not really
it's
cooked.
Oh. Okay, we're getting stuck here.
Well, it's still tasty.
Yes.
Chris wants to.
Oh, it's time. So we got to say goodbye to you guys.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming every month.
The week?
I'm sorry.
Yep. We'll see you sometime.
Oh, I know you will.
Yep.
Definitely.
And thank you so much for these pins. These are really, really good.
You can
these
turn them off,
beautiful.
Chris. It's okay.
Hi, you've reached the Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment. Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hi, hello, this is Rafael Paredes. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can, please call me back.
Hello, my name is Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello, this is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Across Cambodia, vaccines are reaching more children in more places than ever before. Globally, UNICEF and our partners save the lives of over 2.5 million children every year. Immunization is vital to help children survive and thrive in Cambodia and around the world. For every child, advance humanity.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Gallows, and 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now broadcasting on high-definition radio. As we said, it is the beginning of Pride Month, and we've got, I guess they're all settled in now. I can safely turn on the microphones, I hope. We have with us here the cast and crew from Stage Ranks Latest. I had enough of noise out of him from behind me during the same performance. Your mic is dead.
This is their first time.
We have the cast and crew of Stage Ranks from Noises Off. See, I can't slap him when he's in the other room because I have to be over here. That's what an assistant stage manager is for. So, welcome everyone. I don't think I'm most happy you can hear me because of the headphones.
He's saying welcome.
Yeah.
Works too.
Why don't everyone come in there, introduce yourself, speak from... Oh God, I'm letting him talk.
No.
Start, Brian, before so I can cut your mic off quickly.
I'm Brian Sanchez. I am Lloyd in the play. He's the director of the show within the show.
I'm Min Tran. I suppose I'm the assistant stage manager or something along those lines.
What?
I read the program. I thought that's what it said.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
My name is Jason Swafford. I play Gary in the play. I do lots of crazy, messed up stuff.
Yeah, so you can where your head landed.
My name is LeVar Burney, and I play Tim, which I'm supposed to be fixing doors and so forth, but they never get fixed. So I'm not really a good fixer.
Useless.
My name is Leslie Sharp. I play Poppy. She's the stage manager of the show in the show. She's stressed out.
Always.
I think I saw that scene in the play as well.
Can we say boobs on the air?
You don't remember when I said boobs?
Yes.
Okay, I'm Janice. I play Brooke in the play, and that's all I'm going to say.
I think Justin can say boobs for us one more time.
My name is Justin Nicholson, and I play Fred in the show, and, you know, my nose bleeds every 5 seconds.
Okay. I'm Heather Gabriel, and I play Dottie and Mrs. Clackett in the show, and I have an obsession with sardines.
Fish-loving women.
My name's Jay Summerlin. I play Selsden, the burglar, in the show.
A.K.A. drunk.
Right.
And I'm Dario. I'm the technical director, as always. Don't worry about it. I won't say anything.
And well, then the sardine.
Can we
catcher.
Bleep them out with the word boobs?
Boobs.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm Mark Anthony Glover. I'm executive director of Stage Door and also the director of the actual production, Noises Off, not the play within the play. Right, Ryan?
Yes.
Two directors on one mic. This is. Hey. How are you?
My voice sounds so much better, though.
He's supposed to have a sexy voice.
So, why don't someone explain what the play is about for those who aren't familiar with it?
Okay. I will gladly do that.
Remember, we do have people on after you, so you can't talk as slow as that.
Noises Off is about an acting group, a group of actors, which are putting on a show called Nothing On, which is a British farce. Lots of doors slamming and everything. And it's a three-act show. The first act is the final dress rehearsal right before opening night, and the director is shouting and getting mad, and everybody is messing up their cues, and everybody pretty much knows very little about the actual show that they're doing, pretty much, and things keep breaking down. And the second act is actually on the backside, on the backstage of it, 1 month later at a matinee, and some personal conflicts cause issues backstage, which lead to hilarity on stage. So that's the funniest part of the show, I think. But Act 3 is actually 10 weeks after that, which is pretty much the entire show has erupted into chaos, and everybody is not caring at that point. So it's constant hilarity and nothing close to the original show that you had seen in Act 1.
Yeah, there's a lot more splayed legs at the final act.
Yes.
So let's see. Who are the ones that are here? This is their first time with the radio.
They're on the mics.
Ah. All right. So I have a standard question I ask this group, and that is, why Stage Door, and why community theater, and why Stage Door?
Don't look at me.
Yes, your paycheck counts. Let's
start with our so-called
ladies first.
Okay, man. Yeah.
You forget what type of show you're on right now.
I do community theater because it's just a way to be silly. I have a 9-to-5 and it's boring and you have to be serious and grown up. So I do community theater because it's fun. And I don't know, I found Stage Door, I like stumbled on it, but my very first day they made you feel really welcome. They're really open and it's been really fun. Made a lot of good friends. I like it.
We have no idea who this woman is.
I don't like Brian. He's mean.
That's not true. She's Lady Justice and we love her.
Brian's mean.
Duh.
I did community college because it was a step up from where I was before. Mm-hmm. And like she said also that, you know, for the first time, I kind of stumbled onto Stage Door Inc. also. And, like, people just made you kind of feel at home. I mean, it's a great cast. You know, really, we play like this all the time and so forth. So it's really fun. You know, something for them. Like, if you have that 9-to-5 job, whatever, you can come here really relax and just laugh all day, pretty much.
I just kind of jumped in a Stage Door. I actually haven't touched any theater in like 8 years, but
and you picked this one to touch.
Yes. It was jolly good. I'm being touched back. But I don't know, I guess I decided to join in because I also have a 9-to-5 job like Leslie, and I use a giant stamp there that constantly reminds me of the scene from The Producers. So it goes, goom, ching, doo, doo, goom, ching, doo. Unhappy, unhappy. So that's me every day until I get to Stage Door.
And then we make him very happy.
Jeez, show tunes on our show.
Actually, I went to go see a show there. Can you hear me? I went to go see a show there in January. Into the Woods, fantastic musical. And just saw in the program that they were doing some excellent shows throughout the year. Decided to do No Noises Off. Going to be auditioning for other stuff coming up. It's a great group. Like, there's no reason that I wouldn't want to work with these guys.
And also, Mark gives me free candy, so that's why I talk about it.
That's how you lure them in, is with candy.
Well, they took away your big white van, didn't they?
Oh. Yeah, now I just drive a big brown truck, so whatever works.
Whatever. So we got a lot of people who've come back from other shows. Anyone else want to jump in and say something about the show?
He's talking to you now.
Anybody else want to say anything?
People that have done it before.
I mean, you did show up if you're late.
I live at Stage Door, so...
If I quit, I'd be home.
832-582-7606.
Would you like to say something?
Kitty on fire!
Just don't hit me with your breast this time.
You gave the poor guy whiplash.
You okay?
I'm okay. Okay, you know, you know, just take a little Tylenol when I get home.
I just like it because I get to be half naked through the whole thing. So.
That's the selling point for the lesbian. Half naked chick with big boobs.
Hell yeah. And Justin runs around with his pants around his ankles for...
Pretty much. There's really something for everyone.
For everybody. Yeah.
What?
Heather, anything? Mrs. Clackett,
Mrs. Clackett, yes.
Yeah, you know, it's been a while since I've seen the movie there, and you know, it was, so my mind kept trying to flash back to that, and yours was the character that was the closest to the movie if anyone ever saw it.
Oh, Miss Carol Burnett's.
Carol Burnett's, yeah.
I deliberately tried not to do her.
So, good job, Chris.
In other words, tomorrow we won't see the same Mrs. Lovett or not Mrs. Lovett. Mrs. Clackett. Whoops, wrong show.
Wrong play.
That was in October.
Yeah, that's not going to help, especially when she comes walking out with a mop.
Yeah, it happened all through rehearsal. Mrs. Lovett, Mrs. Lovett. I'm like, who? Mrs. Clackett.
What's that British accent you got her in with two performances in that?
Yeah.
Now, it looks like the schedule for Stage Door has really changed for the remainder of the season. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about some of the what's coming up next?
Yes, unfortunately.
Oh, my God.
Due to particular contractual obligations, we had to refrain from producing The Producers and decided to replace it with Rent.
You!
Woohoo!
Which auditions for that show will be tomorrow and Monday at 7 p.m. For more information, go to our website, www.stagedoorinc.com, or give us a call at 832-582-7606.
You know, I forgot we still haven't talked about the many pricks that Brian took on stage tonight.
And also, following Rent, we will be replacing the cover of Life with the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of the Halloween show...
Followed by... Evil Dead, the musical.
Followed
by... Which we actually have community theater rights for, the first community theater rights, right?
Actual community theater, yeah. It's been some educational rights, but we have first community theater rights.
So it will be the first community theater ever putting on a Evil Dead, the musical. What in Texas.
Woo. In Texas, thank you.
By him doing that voice, he's really sweating.
Legally.
Yeah, everyone has the same look on their face when he does that voice as the same as you did, LeVar, in the play when you started on, when you got on the microphone and it came out that, where the hell did that radio voice come from?
Do it, let's
hear some of that radio voice.
This is LeVar Burnie on KPFT. How y'all doing today? Y'all like my voice?
Well, the
headphones off.
LeVar, I have a question for you.
Oh my God. Yes, sir.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting in the wind?
No. No one ever feels like a plastic bag. Ever. No.
How am I supposed to say? Sometimes I do.
No.
Okay. We've got the Christmas play too.
A Christmas Carol?
One left. Why don't you just say
Come on, get it over with.
Yes. I'm sure that everyone will hear about this one, you know, later on in the year because we'll be on the show multiple times. But ending our season would be The Christmas Carol, an adaptation developed by Stage Door, which will be set in New Orleans instead of London, as it normally, you know, is done in London. But it will be done in New Orleans as our adaptation will be done in New Orleans.
So that means I could just talk normal now, Mark, right?
Sure.
Christmas Carol in the NOLA.
And then...
Oh, yeah.
A big important one.
For all you people who like guys in drag.
Me!
Big guys.
July 9th is actually Stage Door Inc.'s big star spangled spectacular fundraiser starring Willa Dean and Dorita.
Two big girls. Really big girls.
That's what I see in the brochure.
They make the weather girls look like a small shower.
That is. I know it's you. I knew that was Brian. That's the way he was just looking at me.
I think LeVar just admitted that he has things for Dorita Sanchez. I don't know if that's true, but I think so. So if your wife is listening, be very, very careful. Dorita, you finally got a man with color. Obama wouldn't call, so LeVar did.
Are we allowed to say Obama on this radio?
Everyone does love chocolate, remember?
One of the words on the list.
LeVar's the kind of chocolate that melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
Oh,
I don't know. God. I don't know about that one.
And so what are the details on that fundraiser?
The fundraiser, all reservations, anybody wishing to come to the fundraiser, must make a reservation. Tickets are $30. That includes food, drink, and also some other libations will be there for consumption. But it will be a barbecue dinner as well as a three-act show featuring Willa Dean and Dorita and possibly some other people that we can wrangle into it. It's a complete improv show with a lot of music, a lot of dancing, and a lot of fun. So,
and if you want to get a taste of what it's going to look like, if you go to the YouTube page for Stage Door Inc., you will see videos from the New Year's show. Thankfully, I'm still not on there.
Thankfully.
Did you say barbecue?
Why is the black man going to ask about barbecue?
I'm just saying, I heard barbecue. That's all, you know.
Yeah, we're having barbecue.
That's what
we're
talking about.
To everyone listening, LeVar is black.
I won't bring the brownies again this year. That caused a little bit of controversy with people.
They didn't cause controversy for some of us. Some of us actually enjoyed them. He made Southern Comfort brownies, guys, not special brownies.
Okay. I had to raise my eyes.
Oh, the actors are like, brownies?
No, I put them out and no one put up the little sign that said that they were Southern Comfort. And about 5 minutes later, after several people taking them, I mentioned it and it's like, all the word was going around, everyone was whispering going, there's alcohol in the brownies. Oh, really? I gotta...
There was alcohol at the concession stand. Why was there a big deal?
Yeah, but they knew that was in there. They didn't realize it was in the brownies.
And Chris, for you were there last time. Bingo will probably still be there somewhere, but we're also adding Deal or No Deal, Trailer Park style.
Ooh. Fancy.
So,
for those of you who don't know, it's a Trailer Park themed extravaganza with drag queens going crazy and very fun antics. If you come to the show and you don't enjoy yourself and you don't laugh, then you're dead.
Even if you don't laugh at the show, you're gonna find even funnier.
Because even the old conservatives laugh.
That's the thing, is you're gonna have more fun watching these old white people sitting there going, "Is that what I think I'm seeing?" Yeah, just go to the video where they're fighting over the short little Hispanic guy singing "Does he love you like he loves me?"
And he was straight while his wife was in the audience dying laughing at him the whole time.
Yeah, you can see his face turn red from the camera in the back of the theater.
Or the straight man that got pulled down because he flirted with Willa Dean the year before and never called her back, so she embarrassed him the first song of the show.
That's what he gets.
Ah, that's what he got. And he flirted with me at the end of that show, at the last show. So, I know he's not listening, but Clint's in for fun.
Or you know, the other plan you have is when you...
But the big thing is it's actually a fundraiser, unlike New Year's Eve, where it's just to celebrate the New Year. We're actually doing a fundraiser. We have over $5,000 in donated stuff that we're going to be auctioning off. Everything from two round-trip tickets from Southwest Airlines all the way down to day spa trips. I think there's a trip to Messina Hoff Winery for $40. There's all kinds of fun stuff that's going to be auctioned off. So it's going to be a big fundraiser. You'll be able to tip the drag queens like you do at any bar, which will be a new addition. Thanks to Jay for reminding me that in the middle of the show last year when he decided he was going to tip Dorita. And I was like, tipping! I forgot about that. That's like cow tipping, but with drag queens.
Oh my goodness.
Well, we're pretty big. Have you seen us? I'm just letting you know that Lycra stretches really good.
Okay. I haven't seen them yet, I guess.
Go to their YouTube, page.
You're going
to
fall in love, I promise. I got really big boobs.
Okay.
Many ads to them.
And you like them, obviously.
Well, I'm looking straight at the...
Everyone's gay with a little bit of alcohol.
It's an old joke. What's the difference between a gay and a straight man? A six-pack and a shot of Cuervo.
Yeah. Sometimes more than one shot of Cuervo. Never mind.
Yeah, I've
seen how you... say something. He's just like, oh, God, death panic.
He's just holding on his chair for dear life. I'm not getting up. I'm not getting up. All right, so more information on Stage Door. How to get in contact, where you're at.
Go to www.stagedoorinc.com or call 832-582-7606.
Jesus.
So they finally pulled the plug on him? Oh.
That is the effects of alcohol.
Or the lack thereof. All right, so once again, performance.
Hello, Leslie.
Performances of Noises Off are Friday and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m., and they're running for the next 3 weeks, correct?
Yes.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the times quite well. Unfortunately, when you throw a Saturday matinee at 1 o'clock, I get confused on that. For the kids, for the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh.
Yes. I was like, don't show up on Saturday at 1.
Everybody's looking like,
there are two performances that they have, and I was bringing my niece down, and I get up there in time to peek through the curtain and watch him eating cake. I'm going, okay.
He wanted some cake, too? I guess not.
On that note, thank y'all for coming in, Stage Door.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to put a little music in your ear and bring in the Hatchlings. This is KPFT After Hours. And
guys, he knows how to work.
what a lie. I'm going with a rocket all night. I got fever, doctor, I need ya. I got fire running through my veins. Baby, hug me, don't you desert me. I need you to hurt me, bring the pain. You wanna get it, but can you take it? Baby, shake it and shake it, but don't break it. I know that you're dangerous when you're naked. It's that simple, kiss me. Wanna get it, but can you take it? Baby, shake it and shake it, but don't break it. I know that you're dangerous when you're naked. It's that simple, kiss me. It's getting closer, can you read my mind? Thoughts are dirty like a shot without a line. Can you taste it? My sweat rolling low. My body on the floor. I got fever, doctor, I need ya. I got fire running through my veins. Baby, hurt me, don't you desert me. I need you to hurt me, bring the pain. You wanna get it, but can you take it? Baby, shake it and shake it, but don't break it. I know that you're dangerous when you're naked. It's that simple, kiss me. Shake it and shake it, but don't break it. I know that you're dangerous when you're naked. It's that simple, kiss me. Shake your body rough, move your hips slow. You make me crazy, but you just don't know. Rip it up, take it down. You got the power to be upside down.
Don't you shake your body?
Yeah. You give me fever like a velvet.
Jim Verivos, with You're Getting Crazy, Estás Engriendo, something like that. I think he was one of those American Idol finalists before that Panzer Division Twinkie to make it a little star. Start off the show with Heather Small Proud and Kinsey Six with Decaf. And I finally saw that entire CD and realized why there's not a lot of songs on that CD that Jimmy highlighted that we can play. A lot of naughty stuff on there. With us there now is Hatch.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
My name's Elizabeth.
I'm Miguel.
I'm Kia.
And I'm Brendan, one of the facilitators for Hatch.
Welcome to the Hatch Youth radio show. We're going to start off with phone numbers real fast. So the first number we're going to give is, who has the number right now?
Don't look at me. I don't know where my cell phone is.
Oh, okay. My phone turned
off. He's got the phone.
Brendan saves the day.
Okay.
Okay.
I forgot to turn on my phone.
Ooh, turn your phone off. No one wants to carry
it. Yeah, nobody wants to, yeah.
No, okay. This is connected anyways.
The Hatch number... Oh, no, it's not on here. What? I got a new phone and not all my numbers transferred.
Sir.
That's the most important number in all the land.
Okay, so we're going to jump past this while he's looking. So we've got a few announcements, of course. This month is June, and the biggest thing for Hatch coming up is June 10th, and it is our annual Hatch prom. This will be the 19th annual Hatch prom. The theme is Over the Rainbow. And I'm pushing this real hard because I did all the decorations for it.
She did a lot of them. She did not do them all.
Thank you. And I saw the one with the shoes.
I just want people to walk in and see, like, this huge backdrop and, like, oh my God, Elizabeth did that?
Okay, I did all of the table. I did all of the table decorations.
She did all of, like, the...
The,
like,
centerpieces.
Yeah, the centerpieces and the stuff you'll see when you walk in. And
yeah, so, like, the... there'll be lollipops on the tables and other stuff, other such fun, glittery, and painful things.
Should we talk about the shoe incident?
It is over the rainbow, and so, as anyone can expect, there has to be red glitter pumps, because that's, you know, the ruby slippers. And, red glitter pumps are not easy or cheap to buy, so they decided they would make them. And then they told me to make them. And this ended in spray-on glue and a bottle, I don't know how big this bottle was, but it was quite a large bottle of glitter. Lots and lots of, lots of glitter everywhere. We ended up getting it done. I'll never wear that shirt again. Just because I don't want to put it in the laundry and have the rest of my clothing infected.
Oh, yeah, what was the nickname? Red herpes?
Gay herpes. Or glitter herpes. It never goes away, ever.
I'll give you a contact for someone who could probably help you get the glitter out of your shirt. Christopher Prado, if you're listening, we'll get you in contact with her how to get glitter out of your clothing.
I can't,
Christopher would be perfect.
I never, like, we decided to do this at Hatch so that we wouldn't have to have the glitter in my house, because all the other decorations I've been doing at my home, but when it came to spray painting and glittering six pairs of pumps, I did not want these in my house, just because I did not want the gay herpes around my house.
And the people in her house would not tolerate that.
Yeah, no, my roommates would not be happy with sitting down on the couch and standing up with glitter. This was not okay. So we went to Hatch and used the tables there to do it. Deb was watching me the entire time, like, don't get that anywhere. I don't need glitter all over the facility. And I was like, I'm not the youth, okay? I won't mess it up, I promise. So, but yeah, Hatch Prom, June 10th. It is going to be from 7 to 12?
7 to midnight.
7 to midnight. Youth between under 20, or 20 and under will get in for free. And 21 and up is a $25 donation. It's going to be at 401 Bernard on the first floor. That's the first floor, right?
Just go up the stairs.
Yeah, go up the stairs. Go up the stairs or go on the elevator. It all works out to the first floor.
And you'll be facing a big room right in front of the elevator.
Yeah, there'll be a red carpet.
There'll be a red carpet.
Or a yellow brick road.
I think we're going for a yellow brick road this time. It's a lot of fun, and it's one of the biggest events that Hatch throws to raise funds. Mm-hmm. So please come out, donate. It's a great event, and we have an awesome DJ coming, one of the top DJs in Houston, and I don't know the name. Deb has told me like 5 times, and every time she tells me, I forget it. I'm not a DJ person, but I know it's one of the best DJs in Houston right now. He's the hit thing right here. Not a DJ person, but you know, whatever. another event coming up is going to be this tomorrow, June 5th at EJ's. It's Hatches, Sliders, and Sides throwdown event from 2 to 6 p.m. All the proceeds are going to the Hatch Prom. I don't know much about it.
Yeah, well, it's basically sort of like a cook-off. Like who can be the best chef or whatever. And also, I got a chance to volunteer, even though I'm underage, but after I told him my current...
Oh, yeah, it's a 21 and up event. Sorry. Yeah. I had to mention that.
Yeah, sorry.
It's pretty important.
Yeah. It'll be really cool. You should definitely go out and help fund and raise proceeds for Hatch.
Yeah, and if there's anyone out there who's interested in sponsoring Hatch, it is one of our big fundraisers for the year, then please get in touch with the Montrose Counseling Center through Hatch.
Absolutely.
And that number, in case you're interested, is 713-529-3590.
All right. So that's what's going on right now in the Hatch world, in the events world. June's a big month for us, so please come out and support us by coming to Hatch Prom and all that jazz. So June's also another big month. It's one of the biggest, like, it's the gay holiday of the year. So June 25th of this year will be the Pride Parade.
It's the 25th?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the 25th.
Holy butt. I don't know why, like, for some reason I've been telling people the 24th, so I'm sorry, everyone.
That's the eve.
It's the eve. It's like Christmas.
That's
eve.
When it's going to start going down.
Then. Pride like, Eve is like the night when everyone and their mother has a party right. or an event or a gala or a dance. I got invited to a black tie gala today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I might go. I might go.
Sounds fun. And, of course, it's GLBT History Month.
Of course, of course.
Of course. Yay.
GLB history is the stuff. I loves it. Although, like, I guess, like, there's a lot to GLBT history, and so, like, it's kind of, like, you feel like you know everything, and then you find something else out, so.
Lakia.
Huh?
I don't know much about GLBT history. Do you think you can educate me about that, please?
Me, personally? I'm no professor, but,
I'm sure we can take you down the history lane on a few of these important parts and dates and people.
That we could.
So where should we start?
B.C.
B.C., yeah. And going back 350 years, B.C., the big name that jumps out is...
Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great.
The biggest queer military leader in the world.
Perhaps the most successful military leader
yes.
in world history.
Yes. And he was gay.
Definitely. Macedonian king who basically conquered the world and established Western history and influence that's felt today.
Yep.
All over the
gay
world.
Gay man. He liked men. He was into it. One of the things I wanted to mention was, like, the origination of the word lesbian came from a poet named Sappho, who was from the islands of Lesbos. 600 BC-ish was her time of life. No one really knows when she was born, but she died at some point that people know. And she's pretty much where the word lesbian came from.
Awesome.
Now, the island of Lesbos has always been kind of contrary to having this word come around.
Yeah.
They don't like it.
They
don't
like
that we say lesbian because it's obviously they are
lesbians.
You know, they need to get with it and realize that's a great tourist attraction.
Yeah.
And they need to play that out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, every time they do have people come in for touristry and. You know, they obviously, they go by lesbians. They are lesbians.
Right.
They're very upset. They're also very religious there. And so it causes a lot of problems. I watched a documentary about the island of Lesbos and the fights they've had to get the word taken out of general knowledge.
Yeah. And, you know, there's nothing that you can really do to erase a word from, you know, popular use. They've tried to sue organizations mm-hmm. and tell them to stop using the word lesbian in their title because it's offensive to
wow,
them.
Wow, really?
Yeah, there have been lawsuits. They've lost every one of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's... What can you do?
You know, you can embrace it, have a big festival, and that town, city, island, whatever, could rake in major money.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice island. I mean, they would definitely have some touristry if they opened it up.
It's in the Mediterranean.
It is in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, they could do lots. Lesbians love to have nice skin.
Yeah.
And you like those Mediterranean salts that they have in the facial cream.
All sorts of
tanning.
It
can be like a Lesbo carnival event.
Exactly.
Right there in the Mediterranean.
I'd love to go if I didn't think all the lesbians would be mad at me. I would love to, but...
All right. So we're going to move forward from Alexander the Great.
Well, Julius Caesar was bisexual. A lot of people don't know that.
Yep, Julius Caesar was bisexual. Then there's people who were rumored, like Leonardo da Vinci and
Michelangelo.
Several great artists and
William Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare was also
said to have been bisexual.
Aww.
Amongst the many people, and even several people say that like Joan of Arc was gay, which
Aww.
Is. Which is something nobody can ever prove.
I'm into it. I mean,
I'm not sure why not, but
I'd put her in the transgender category.
See, now why would you put her in the transgender category?
She, I don't know. Everything I've ever read of it, yeah.
She was at least a cross-dresser.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
There you go. A severe cross-dresser for the time period. It was not okay.
No.
Nowhere near okay.
I thought she was cool.
Who else do we have in history that...
Well, I think that pretty much exhausts our
before Christ.
going back 600 years and further back, that kind of takes
care
of that.
Let's move into recent time. Now, there's a lot of people out there who were in the closet most of their entire life, including some of their entire life, Cary Grant and people like that,
who didn't
come out.
And there's still people who don't know that Cary Grant was gay, and he definitely was. No doubt Cary Grant was gay.
I mean, his entire life, he married several famous women who knew he was gay, and they lived their life as a married couple with him having his men and her having her men, and used it as a... the famous couple.
Right, and Tyrone Powers, of course, was gay, and Rock Hudson.
The manly man who could not be gay.
Right.
No matter what. I mean, he was the image of male masculinity and power in the time period, and it would not have
been
the
big star, what do you call it, romantic comedy star.
Oh, yeah. And people who have hidden some of their life and then came out as being who they are, like Jodie Foster, who hid for about 15 years before she came out and said, you know, I'm gay and this is my partner and I love her. And then they broke up.
but
that's okay.
Yeah.
That also happened to Ellen. Like, she was all like, I'm gay. This is my girlfriend. And then her girlfriend left her. And then she got an even hotter girlfriend. So, you know, it all worked out.
Exactly.
Who was the one girlfriend? Who was that?
Oh, I don't even remember.
Anne Heche.
Yeah.
And, boy, she got a lot of flack when they broke up. And then Anne went back. Okay, obviously, Anne was not a lesbian. She was bisexual.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with bisexual.
No,
if you're bisexual,
there is not.
You date a woman... you break up, you date a man, that's part of being bisexual.
Exactly.
But she actually got a lot of flack for that.
Yeah. There was a lot of people who said she went back to being straight and all this other stuff.
Like,
and like
no,
she
was
bisexual.
Right.
And then there's people who don't say they're gay, but they are, like Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah?
Engaged.
Queen Latifah's gay? She's a lesbian?
Oh, of
course
she is.
She's engaged.
She has never formally come out and said, I am attracted to women, or I'm gay or bisexual, or whatever, you know, she identifies as. But she's engaged to a woman. It's moderately popular knowledge. Like, it's not something that's her publicist and her people are trying to, you know, downplay it. But, I mean...
But, you know, how I think that someone like Queen Latifah, it does not matter if she comes out and says, I'm a lesbian, I'm bisexual, I'm straight. It's not going to affect her career, her dynamic of who supports her, who loves her, who buys her records, who watches her movie, probably no impact whatsoever. I think she has a responsibility to come out.
Yeah. I think she does too. And like, in all honesty, I really don't understand why exactly it's happening, because she's played lesbian roles, like in Set It Off. There was another movie where she played a very scary, scary, scary butch lesbian. She played a prison warden that would, like, you know, kind of sexually harass her inmates. Like, she's
in Chicago. I mean,
yeah,
she was Mama.
Yeah.
I mean, she's played gay. She's played, you know, these roles, and I mean,
I remember
she plays them well.
I remember a few years back, before all of this stuff really started happening with her and the woman she's with. She's a personal trainer, right?
Yeah.
Before everything came out about them, she had made a press statement saying that sexuality is fluid and that we're going to love who we're going to love, no matter what. And since then, like, all of this stuff has been coming out about her. There's pictures of her and her personal trainer on vacation together and stuff like that. And she's always said the same thing, basically. Sexuality is fluid, and you're going to love. I'm not going to define myself.
Right. And, you know, you can throw in Ricky Martin to that. I mean, for years, everyone knew he was gay.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ricky Martin, that is a demographic that he probably would have gotten some,
especially the time period. I mean, he was the hot hunk for the 90s.
Sure.
I mean,
and him coming out gay early probably would have affected his record sales,
his
popularity.
When it comes to movie stars, like I said, like Jodie Foster, who have this, and Queen Latifah, who have this real acting career and real, like, fan base, it's based on their acting skills and not really what they are in real life. Whereas, like, Ricky Martin, who's the hot hunk throb, and he's known for that, he's known for being the sex symbol, it would definitely affect his career compared to theirs. And I think recently I watched an interview with him on Jay Leno? I don't know. It was one of those late night talk show people things. And he's very for gay rights and advocacy now.
Right. Playing a very important role.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely out there and going, you know, gay is good. Be yourself.
Yeah. And that's an example of, I think, the role Queen Latifah could play. I mean, yeah. Ricky Martin is basically the spokesperson for gay parents.
Yeah, he's
really made that part of his message.
Two beautiful sons, and he's, you know, he talks about, and he's in his book, he was talking about how he talks about how his coming out process was very hard because he was this guy who, sorry, I'm gonna sneeze. I don't want to sneeze on the radio.
it's pretty gruesome when she sneezes.
Exactly. How his coming out process and his coming to terms with who he was very hard. And even late into his Ricky Martin career, he still hadn't really come to terms with who he was.
Sure.
And it took a long time for him to be, okay, I'm gay.
Right.
And I'm going to be proud of who I am, and I'm going to tell other people to be proud of who they are.
Right,
And you know, he's definitely gotten on the front of doing that.
Yeah. I don't know. I just would like a lot more from Queen Latifah.
I would, too.
Oh, yeah.
Same I'm here. Disappointed.
I think I'm disappointed in any major star nowadays who is gay and in the closet. I think it's a time period where being who you are and coming out as who you are is a time that's needed. You know, we need famous people to stand up and say, I am who I am. And you're not going to stop me.
And I mean, we can go back early. I mean, Elton John came out relatively. I know, I said we weren't going to mention Elton John at all.
We were just in the other room, and he said, no mentioning Elton John. And I was like, okay, not really on my list of people to talk about, but sure. And he gets in here, and he's talking about Elton John.
Well, the only reason I do that is because he did come out early in his career. In a time when it wasn't exactly popular, although it kind of was.
In Europe, it wasn't as big.
So, I mean, and then played an important part, I think.
Yeah.
And that's why I gave you the weird look.
And being so close to the royal family over there. Yeah.
Maybe
still,
that's why England has better rights than we do.
It's true. When you got Elton John in your ear, I mean.
Right. Oh, well, let's talk about an Englishman, a famous Englishman who is gay and did not have such a great time.
No, he got put in
during
jail.
His coming process. Right.
Oscar Wilde,
one of the great authors and some amazing works. The Importance of Being Earnest. The Portrait of Dorian Gray.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not totally homoerotic.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that movie.
Not to mention so many quotes that we now know.
The book is amazing. The movies that have been made off of the book are like, come on, we know what's going on here. Can we get it closer to what we're supposed to be talking about?
I would love to see an actual film of the picture of the Portrait of Dorian Gray and have like the character Basil actually just like fawning over Dorian like he does in the book. Like it's oh my gosh.
Because every time they do it, they kind of play down the fawning.
He's in love with this kid. Yeah. It's crazy. Read the book. It's great.
Yeah.
If you're in high school, you probably will. But, yeah.
And read for the gay undertones.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh. It's very not undertone.
Right.
I mean, you'll get to a certain point where you're like, okay, this is moderately not okay.
Yeah. I mean, and let's look back at Oscar Wilde's life. I mean, he was a known celebrity in his time, one of the greatest authors of his time, known the world over, toured America, and was thrown in prison and did hard time because he was gay.
Yep. It was pretty tragic. And, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that. It's really sad. Because he was a rock star. He was totally just an amazing author.
You know, you would think that celebrity protects you to a certain degree.
And it does.
It doesn't.
To an extent. Going back in history, you have Walt Whitman. Of course, he wasn't in England. He was here in America. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely gay. There's no doubt Walt Whitman was gay.
Yeah.
One of the great American poets that ever lived.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can throw out Virginia Woolf, Tennessee Williams, all people who more than likely were gay.
Yeah. Tennessee Williams was a total homo.
Of course, Oscar Wilde, you know, predates them by just a little bit.
I know a few of you have some great women.
There are.
A lot of women. A lot of women who are, like, speculated to be gay.
True. One of them is who I like to believe is gay, and in my heart I believe she was gay, Barbara Jordan.
Yeah. I buy that. I totally buy that. She had that lesbian vibe about her. Very, very Audre Lorde kind of person, who is also a lesbian, and I love her so much. She's such a beautiful poet.
And then the poets, a lot of poets.
Yeah.
Langston Hughes.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely gay.
A woman who was not gay, but really kind of a big movement, and a person who was really big in the equality movement, was Martin Luther King's wife.
Right.
Coronado Scott. She always, after her husband died, she would use his words and his idea of justice for all, freedom for all. It wasn't just for any minority, any color, anything like that. She truly believed that it was for everybody.
And even specifically, I mean, she just didn't say, oh, yeah, I'm inclusive, everybody.
No, she would fight specifically for gay and lesbian rights. She would fight specifically for gay and lesbian rights, even against her own family at
right.
certain point.
And that family's divided on that issue.
It is. And she has always, and you know, was always known very well after her husband for using his words and saying this is what needs to happen. GLBT people need to stop
yeah.
being
right.
oppressed just like we were
right.
oppressed.
And I think she definitely deserves to be on our list.
Oh, for absolutely. Sure. Like a kind of taking aside from Martin Luther King, Bayard Rustin. A lot of people don't know who he is. Let me tell you.
Is it Byron? Byron Rustin?
I think it's Bayard.
Okay.
I don't know if it's... It could be Byron. I'll ask the interwebs. But he is actually... He played a huge role in the organizing of the Million Man March on Washington.
Okay.
Like, he almost had more of a role in organizing and planning it than Martin Luther King did.
Hmm.
He coordinated a lot of the speakers. He coordinated a lot of the caravans to take it there. He did a lot of the work for the permitting of the event, and he was gay, and he also wanted to bring like GLBT equality to kind of the forefront of the civil rights movement, and he was stopped by a lot of people, including Martin Luther King, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were just not ready to they're either not ready to take on
right.
the inclusivity of
right.
GLBT people, or they didn't agree with it. But Bayard, B-A-Y-A-R-D. Yay! I was close. But he had a huge hand in the civil rights movement. He was kind of pushed to the back because he was gay. He was a pacifist and a socialist, and so you know, he was the guy they kept quiet because they didn't want people, you know, on their backs. But he was a huge, huge asset to the civil rights movement and to the GLBT community, and
right.
he was a gay man.
Well, I mean, even in our own community, we've gone through that struggle. Do we include transgendered in the non-discrimination legislation we're trying to get through Congress? Do we include transgendered, and are they really a part of the umbrella or not? So our own community has gone through that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even going back to like bisexual being added in,
right.
every time a community tries to add somebody into their group, they're going to go through that. So including bisexual and lesbian and gay, including transgender is going to be one of those fun things. And it's something that we're doing now. I mean, at HGC, the school I go to, we're going through the struggle of including transgender into
right.
our non-discrimination.
And I mean, and let's be fair here. In order to get a non-discrimination law passed through Congress, including transgendered in that, will lengthen the time it takes to get legislation that protects gay and lesbians.
Yep.
It just will.
Yeah, and it has, and that was definitely one of the HRC's arguments when they originally were pushing to try to get the legislation passed, and it had transgender in it, and they took it out
right.
for that reason. Because
it's not nice, it's not pretty, but it's true.
Yeah, that was why they did it, because they knew it would speed up the process. They knew, like, specific representatives who would sign on to it if the T was taken
right.
out of the equation. And that's really unfortunate.
It is.
And they did, I guess, what they thought was the best thing to do for the community at large
right.
was to get the bill
right.
passed and then bring
right.
transgender in later.
Well, it was the same thing with the civil rights movement at that time.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you had people who were dedicated to civil rights based upon mostly color, based
yeah.
upon ethnicity of a person.
Yeah.
And so you push that message, you make that victory, and then you expand later.
I don't totally co-sign on it. You know, I understand, like I totally understand why they went the route they did, and
Like that ideology, I totally get it, but I don't agree with it.
Right.
I don't think that's the best way to go.
I think
about
even
it.
The people who do it don't agree with it in some aspect.
Right.
I mean, they don't want to take a part of their community out and say you have to wait.
Right.
But it happens right. when it comes to trying to get rights.
Right. And the National Organization for Women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they went through that struggle.
Oh, yeah.
Do we include lesbians? You know, how active and do we put them in the forefront of our movement?
Right.
Do we
want to
hide them?
Right.
Right.
And unfortunately, early on, they made the decision to hide them.
Yeah.
They've taken that decision back.
It's crazy. I don't know how you can hide the lesbians in a women's movement. It's kind of hard, I think.
Yeah, well, I would say that's kind of true.
It's pretty hard.
We have some pretty amazing people in legislation now. I mean, Anise Parker here in Houston is definitely for the transgender movement.
Well, just Anise Parker,
and then,
period.
Anise Parker, period. And then we had the first transgender judge appointed here in Houston.
Wow, really?
You know
I didn't know that.
You
no.
didn't know that? Phyllis Fry.
Me neither.
Phyllis Fry.
I did not know that.
She was the first transgender woman appointed as a judge in any city. There's been two more now after her. But she was the first one appointed.
Wow.
So that's some history here.
I know.
Phyllis Bryan.
I think I'm really nervous. Wow.
Anise Parker.
Well, I
think she's an assistant judge as well.
Let's spend some time about Anise Parker. Because it's not just that she's the mayor. A openly lesbian
mayor
of Houston,
mm-hmm.
Texas, fourth largest city in the country.
Yep.
But you can go back to all the years that she was on city council,
mm-hmm.
and then the years that she was comptroller.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a major, major milestone within GLBT history, period, but specifically for Houston.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she did an amazing job as comptroller.
She did.
Houston, you know, the economy really was bad for everybody, but I feel like for a long time Houston was doing well, and a lot of that had to do with the decisions that she was making as comptroller.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I have friends on the East Coast and West Coast, and they're all, we're so liberal-minded, and you're in Texas. I'm so sorry for you.
Right.
So now I can say, yeah, but we have a gay mayor. Over 52% of the vote went to her to be mayor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Anise Parker is amazing, and every time I meet her, I'm so happy to meet her. And she goes to the Transgender Unity Banquet every year, and it's just awesome.
And wasn't she on the top 100 most influential people?
She was. Yes. She was. Okay, y'all. Okay, so I think she was number 12.
Wow.
Which, 12. Yeah, I know. She was number 12. But you know who number 7 was? Sarah Palin.
What?
Don't
well,
approve.
I'm
what?
Sorry. Yes, she is probably one of the most influential people
she
in
is.
The country.
I was so
for all
okay.
the wrong reasons.
I was like, really? Sarah Palin beat Anise Parker? Like, word?
Well,
seriously?
I actually kind of see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. In a big national picture view, I can see that.
I mean, I can see that, but I was not happy with it.
No.
No. Yeah, she was number 12.
That's pretty
that's
amazing.
That's impressive.
That's definitely amazing. Who else did we have?
Oh, gosh, we've got so many people.
Yes, we have a hand going up saying it's time.
Just about.
Yay. How long do we have?
20 seconds.
Okay. Does it have to be exactly at the top of the hour, or can you do it a few minutes
before? No, I just play PSA, two PSAs, and then I come in and say my little spiel at the top of the hour.
Gotcha.
So we should be up with that 20 seconds now, right?
Probably.
Well, that's down to 5.
Oh.
Okay.
We still have a lot of history to traverse here, so we'll be here.
We still have a lot. We just got to step out for a moment and do a PSA or two in the top of the hour. We'll be back with Hatch.
All right.
Hello, this is KPFT 90.1 Houston, and I'm Deloitte Parker, Executive Director of SHAPE Community Center. SHAPE, shaping history for the future. For over 33 years now, SHAPE has shaped history by actively working with issues important to all of us. The freeing of Nelson Mandela, the freeing of Clarence Brantley, death row inmate, the conviction and firing of the officers that killed Ida Delaney and Byron Gillum, voter mobilization, anti-death penalty, police brutality cases, nutrition programs, legal clinics, cultural programs, all of these programs working to make life better for all of us today for tomorrow. For more information about SHAPE, call 713-521-0629. SHAPE Community Center, 713-521-0629. Thank you.
Marshmallow.
I like some cookies.
Potato chips.
Candy.
Ice cream.
Brownies.
Marshmallow.
I like some cookies.
Potato chips.
Candy.
Ice cream.
Brownies.
Marshmallow.
I like some cookies.
Potato chips.
Candy.
Ice cream.
Brownies.
Marshmallow.
I like some cookies.
Potato chips.
Boy, that ended very quickly. You are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org, now broadcasting on high-definition radio. You can also find After Hours and KPFT on Facebook. You can search for either KPFT or search for After Hours. We say After is our first name, Hours is our last name. Become a friend of the show and all that other happy stuff with that. We now return to Hatch.
We're back.
Did you miss us?
Hi. So, wow, cool. So, where are we? I mean, there's a lot of people to talk about. Hey, I want to throw one out that may not be popular and that may not be on everyone's We're Proud Of list, but probably one of the single most important influential people in the 20th century as far as American history is concerned.
Okay.
Who just happens to be gay. He was also suffering from internalized homophobia and did bad things with it, but probably one of the most influential people in the 20th century. Anybody know?
No.
No.
J. Edgar Hoover, of course.
Oh,
okay. That was my first choice. Second one's going to be Roy Cohen.
Oh, well, they're right side by side.
They're two peas in the same
color. Yes.
J. Edgar Hoover was gay?
Yes, was gay. Cross-dresser, was gay, lived with his lover.
Clyde...
Yeah, I don't remember his lover's name, but...
But he's in the next grave site to J.A.
Yeah.
He was buried next
to him.
Wow. That's serious.
In a committed relationship, probably one of the most powerful people...
Oh, yeah.
...in American history.
Caused a lot of drama.
Influential people in American history. Did good things. I mean, basically created the FBI in his own image.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a legacy that is far-reaching than a lot of big historical
and
political...
That would kick you out for a very long time if you were gay.
Right. And that's exactly right. So he instituted policies that demonized, forced people in the closet, and punished people for coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And he could have had the opposite effect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he had... There were a lot of people who were kicked out. And just like in the military, a lot of people in the FBI were kicked out for being gay.
Yeah, a lot of the lingering shame and people staying in the closet and witch hunts, I can't say it's all because of Jacob, but a lot of that was influenced by his policies and what he did.
Bad man. How about a famous woman? Anybody?
A famous woman. Oh, well, it's easy to go into entertainment.
One.
Go ahead.
Well, everyone loves her.
Who?
Ellen DeGeneres.
We talked about Ellen a little bit more, or a little bit earlier. What do you have to say about Ellen, Miguel?
I think she's awesome.
She's
really awesome. I love her show. I don't know much about her. I just love her.
She's really adorable.
She's an amazing comedian who, of course, got her talk show and is always, once she came out, has been for gay rights and then been one of the forefront people for gay rights after she came out.
Yeah, and everybody loves Ellen. I mean, how can you not love Ellen?
It's Ellen. I mean,
she's
adorable.
And she dances. And
she's like America's sweetheart.
Her wife is gorgeous.
It just happens to be lesbian. Now, and then she had a sitcom first, which was kind of Seinfeldish.
Yes, it was. It was.
And then the last season it was on, she came out as a lesbian. The year before, it teased around that topic a lot. And, you know, her ratings dropped quite a bit.
Yeah.
Well, another one would have been
it was
Rosie.
Canceled. Yeah, Rosie
O'Donnell, who
started off being really sweet.
Started off really being sweet, and then her,
Rosie,
her coming out process.
Bitter. She's just bitter.
She's bitter. Yeah. Very bitter
now. Something really bad happened to her, though, because she used to be kind of hot. Like, do you remember, like, that Flintstones movie she was in?
Oh, my God,
she was pretty cute.
Yes.
Like she just, like, I feel like she's going through some emotional stuff, because she got mean.
Mean.
She really let her body go, and she seems like she's just, like...
I feel like something really emotionally damaging happened to her and just changed her life. Like, I don't know her personally or nothing. I'm just saying it.
I remember, you know, though, when her coming out process started, like, her ratings went down.
For Rosie? Wow, I didn't
know
that.
She had a lot of issues.
Well, I mean, everybody knew Rosie O'Donnell was
gay. Oh, yeah, but nobody said it.
And there's a difference. It's almost like it's okay for you to be gay, and it's okay for everyone to know you're gay just as long as you don't say you're gay.
Yeah, like people like I mentioned earlier, Jodie Foster, everybody knew she was gay. Right. I mean, she was, everybody knew it. Everybody in Hollywood knew it, but she didn't say it. She never said it out loud. She had been with her partner for 15 years. They have 3 kids. You know, right. She just never said it out loud.
Well, who is the actor who I think actually his career was affected greatly?
Negatively.
Oh, Rupert Everett. Rupert, what's his last name?
Rupert Everett. Everett. Yeah, the British actor.
Yeah. And I think that's an example of somebody who was...
I don't know this actor. What was he in?
My Best Friend's Wedding?
Yeah.
Who's in My Best Friend's Wedding?
Which one?
He played the gay guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that goes to show you, Rupert Everett used to be a major star in the pop culture. Everyone knew who Rupert Everett was. He came out gay, and then next thing you knew, he disappeared from the cinema. You know, he wasn't in any movies anymore. And I think he was negatively affected by that. Jodie Foster, not so much.
No, well, I mean, when she came out, she had really... she's always been the strong character in her movies and later roles in her life. I mean, when she was younger, obviously she was the kid in the commercials and stuff like that. But in her later years, she was a strong character.
Right.
And... Nowadays, she's a director and a producer, and so her career really wouldn't have been affected too much by it. She did come out before. She did things like Brave One and things like that, but of course, again, the movies that were portraying very strong-willed women.
Right.
So, I mean...
Now she's working on her Beaver with Mel Gibson.
Right.
Yes.
That's
a horrible joke. Yeah.
And then, Magneto, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I love that man.
Ian McKellen, yes.
Now, that's a career that wasn't affected by him coming out.
He's not the heartthrob. You know,
true.
I think the biggest careers that get affected are the younger careers.
He's old and British. He was expected to be gay.
It's true.
Yeah,
he had
an importance about him, so, you know, it's like, oh, he's gay, but he's still so awesome. Side note, speaking of X-Men, saw First Class the other day. Awesome.
Wait.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Awesome.
Definitely awesome. All right, we're moving on now.
No, just saying. No, but...
Was there any gay parallels there were in the other ones?
Oh, yes. I mean, okay, seriously, like, the theme of the movie was mutant and proud.
Right, I know. It's
such a gay
parallel. It's an allegory for the whole gay movement.
It's not going to ruin anything, but everybody knows X-Men First Class is the origins, and so it's going to be the Magneto and Xavier story, and there is very kind of...
Yeah, there's a scene in the movie where... I'm not going to tell you, like, the whole thing, but, like, one of them is, like, cradling the other, and their faces are, like, really kind of close to each other, and I'm just like, kiss him.
Just do it.
Please kiss him. I want you to kiss him. Your face is close enough that you could kiss him. They don't kiss, obviously. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it really shows how close they were, like, you know, they were besties or whatever, but...
A character, not a human being, not a regular person, but a character that's very strong in the hearts of our generation, Dumbledore.
Let's talk about Dumbledore. I think Dumbledore's that's gay. Huge. The only problem I have with Dumbledore is we find out he's gay after the series is over.
Yeah.
So there's no more books that are going to be written.
Dead.
And he dies.
Yeah.
So where was his?
Oh,
where was
God,
him being gay through the whole
that
other?
Someone, I'm so sorry. No, like seriously, like I hate it when people ruin stuff for me.
Well, yeah.
So,
well, he died in the last movie, so.
Yeah, he died in number 6. So I mean,
she's read the books now.
Right.
Okay, I had read all of them up until number 7, and I just didn't have time. I'm in college, like I ain't got time to read, and so like and like everyone's like, oh, let's talk about Harry Potter. I'm like, no. Let's not talk about Harry Potter because I haven't read the 7th book yet. And I finally finished it, and so now I'm good to talk about stuff. But Dumbledore's gay, in case you didn't know.
Huge. I mean, this is a huge character in children's literature.
The 7th book really kind of... It doesn't say outright that he's gay, but the entire storyline between him and...
Grindelwald
is very much... a love story and a hate story at the same time. Their parting was not very good. And when J.K., after the book came out, when J.K. was asked if Dumbledore was gay, she didn't want to say anything. She said that she didn't want to ruin... not that the book hadn't already been banned in a lot of places, just for being what it was.
Right, promoting witchcraft.
Yeah, exactly. But she didn't want to get it even more outside of the hands of children that wanted to read it by saying that one of the major characters was gay. And then she eventually said yes, the idea was that he was gay.
You know, I think these things are so important to have pop culture positive figures. Because, I mean, as we all know, more and more people nowadays, youth, are coming out as GLBT at younger and younger ages.
I'm into it.
Yeah, my first year in Hatch, I was 18, and I can remember the average age for the youth group at the time was about 18.
Right, that's right.
I mean, everyone was 18 or older.
Right.
And now I went back to work with the youth on some of the decorations with Miguel and a few others, and the average age there is now 14.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very, very drastic change in the last 3 years of the group that I went with and the group that's there now. And it's an amazing thing to walk into a room and see 10, 12, 14-year-olds who their parents are bringing them because they need a place and to have them have that at that age and to be out as who you are at that age. I mean, at 14, I knew I was gay, but I wasn't okay with it.
Right.
I was okay with it. I just didn't have any gay friends.
Aww.
I know, so sad.
Speaking of big people in pop culture, she's not gay, but she
loves us.
She loves us, Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga, good.
Big person in pop culture and a big person that the 14-year-olds love.
Yes.
I thought Lady Gaga was bisexual, though.
She is.
She is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
She's bisexual. She probably... I feel like she leans more towards men. I could be wrong. You know, I don't know her personally. But, I mean, she loves the gays.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She's all about the gays. She's always talking about being herself. I think that's one of the biggest things that she always wants to promote. Now, she of course, promotes being herself and does that by what she wears.
Right.
Is very out there.
I love
that's what
she
likes. But she also had a few documentaries. I just recently watched an interview with her.
On MTV.
Inside
the outside.
Yeah, about being who you are. And she has this like moment where she's talking like to gay youth about being yourself and not hiding who you are.
And that's so, and it's so important. And not to bash Queen Latifah, but that's an opportunity for her to do the same thing Lady Gaga is doing.
Yeah.
On HBO, they just ran her Monster tour. And I think they... Of course, you know, it was the HBO version of it, but it was a live show of her doing the show, and at the very end, she does Be Yourself. What's the song?
Born This Way.
Make stuff up sometimes. I swear.
Born This Way. Hey, I'm tired. I just got off work before.
But you know that song has generated so much discussion.
Oh yeah, at the very end of her show, she plays Born This Way, and you can like she's doing the song and everything, and then she the song kind of stops, and it's the verse right before she says gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, and I'm kind of like, wait, you stopped at this point?
Right.
And what? And she goes over the piano and she plays this huge intro, and she says the words in this very large kind of voice, and it's very like this moment, and then she goes back to the song being the way it was before. So I thought that was pretty cool.
But she did cut that out when she performed on. Was it Good Morning America or the Today Show?
There's been a few versions that have had it cut out.
Good Morning America doesn't like gays. I don't care what anybody says.
By the way, officially she, I guess, notice of her being bisexual was in a Rolling Stone interview in May of 2009.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
According to the NNDB.
Mm. Very nice.
I'm not up on her sexuality. I just love that the 14-year-olds love her.
You know, and even if she's not bisexual, and sometimes I think, especially someone in a Lady Gaga position, says things to kind of keep herself on the edge, kind of keep herself
afford.
Yeah.
You know, so she bisexual or not doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter.
She's
got a great message. She's creating discussion, and it's all positive.
Yeah. You know, just down to the fact that on the stage, the dancers, the guys, two guys will dance together, and two girls will dance together, and then there's of course the couple's normal normal idea of a couple of guy and girl, but there will always be two guys dancing and two girls dancing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something that we need to see.
Yeah, absolutely, and good for Lady Gaga. Here's another one. Now this goes back late 70s, early 80s. Where you have truck driving, good old boy, cowboy hats or caps wearing, blaring out a gay man's music and loving it. Who am I talking about? Anybody know?
I know. Hold on. I totally wrote his name down because I forget his name all the time.
I mean, straight guys, the straight world, arena rock.
Freddie Mercury,
lead singer of Queen.
Oh, wow.
So they're in creating some of the most amazing music during those years.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, was Freddie Mercury out? I mean, I think that's one of those cases.
I think it was like the announcement was the first day was, you know, Freddie Mercury comes out as bisexual. Day two, Freddie Mercury's dead.
Oh, yeah.
He came out at the end of his life.
Right.
Hold on. Let's see.
It was quite sad. He died young, didn't he?
Scrolled down the bottom.
That's really sad. Did he have AIDS?
He did.
That's what I thought.
He did. He was, and we haven't talked about it yet, but certainly when you talk about gay history, GLBT history, the AIDS epidemic is front and center.
Oh, yeah.
It does say on here, the official announcement of Mercury's illness was finally made on the 23rd of November, the day before he died. It says there was... they've listed as bisexual on here, and he was, 46 to 91.
Oh, gosh.
55?
Yeah. 45.
I'm sorry.
That's so young.
Yeah, Wikipedia would actually tell me how many years it was on NNDB. I have to do the math.
Do the math, yeah.
to math.
Right.
But, yay to math.
But the reason why I went to NNDB for that is because on a lot of their biographies they have for people, has a line of sexual orientation.
Oh. Mm.
Nice.
And so, like, when I looked at Lady Gaga, it had a link, it had a little footnote saying, okay, she came out in this article in 2009.
Hmm.
And then, you can click on the little link where it says bisexual, and it gives you a list of all the people in their database that they say are bisexual.
Oh, wow.
Or the big list they have in there is matter of dispute.
Right.
Internet is so fabulous.
It really is.
People's sexuality on demand.
Awesome.
But that site is NNDB.
NNDB.
Yeah. I don't have my pins. Brendan?
NNDB.
Oh, when you're done.
Oh, there was a pin.
Thank you.
All right.
Is this .com.org.net?
Com.
Elizabeth is looking at my paper. I just want y'all to know.
I am.
Maybe we should talk a little bit.
I'm not lying.
Oh, let's not forget the front and center drag queen for all drag queens for the ages.
RuPaul. My mom would watch the RuPaul Drag Race every day. She was a dedicated watcher. Like, the new episode came out, she had to watch it. I don't like love those type of TV shows, but RuPaul is amazing.
Right.
She's so gorgeous.
It is absolutely beautiful. And is creating a little entertainment empire all of her own.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Like, it just... one of the reasons, like... I don't believe in cable, really. I'm not a big fan of the TV, but I miss Logo. Like, I really do miss having Logo. Because, like, that used to be all I watched. Logo and MTV.
We have Logo on demand.
And, you know, Logo is creating a career in entertainment for openly GLBT people, mm-hmm. and it's great. Mm-hmm. And RuPaul is definitely one of the beneficiaries.
Yes.
I love RuPaul because she represents the art of drag. She knows that drag is an art. It's like, you know, female illusionist. I love that kind of thing because you can fool someone with that and you can express yourself very openly because it expresses your individuality. And what I want to say about drag is because it's just like, to me, it's like an art. It's something that I really can't explain. I just love the art of drag. I just love how so many drag queens can have so many different styles. Like, I've seen a few drag queens with, like, dark styles or a few drag queens that have, like, a sort of cultural style. I just love the RJ because it's amazing. And I've told a couple people about this that I'm thinking about being a drag queen, maybe.
Really?
Maybe.
That is fun.
It's a maybe, though, but it's maybe because I don't want to shave my legs.
Yeah.
But I heard...
Wear flare pants.
There you go. Be the modern drag queen.
But something that RuPaul's Drag Race has really done is really, like, brought to light the fact that drag is an art. Like, it is something, like, you know, you can't just throw on a dress and some pumps and call yourself a drag queen.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
You could,
right.
But people, you know, might talk about you. But,
right.
Like, it is an art. Like, it is truly, like, just...
out of this world.
Yeah, it's something to be...
entertainers, performers, and artists.
Yeah. Like,
you know, and one of the things to mention, especially around the whole drag world, is that so many drag queens are involved in organizations that do so much good work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are charity driven.
Yeah.
And you know, doing drag is expensive.
Oh, yes.
You know?
I researched on that.
You know? That's not just something you do, you know, as a hobby, just because.
I mean, hair.
It's a big financial investment.
Eyeshadows, eyeliner, jewelry.
I get away lucky. I'm a drag king. Not so expensive.
Not as
cheaper.
Right.
Not so. Nearly as expensive.
Yeah, no.
But in the whole drag world, I mean, they play such an important role, not just because they're entertainers and it's good to be entertained.
Because events that they hold and things that they do raise a lot of money.
They do. Yeah.
And they're fierce. All
right. All right. Let's go to the musical end of women.
Yeah, and there's a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, from peeping at her page, like Melissa Etheridge and
Etheridge.
Who else? Come on. You have to have more.
Oh, you're asking me now? Oh, thank you.
It is your page.
It's your page.
I mean, you look at... I mean...
It goes on and on. Well, I'll throw one out. She sings my favorite song of all time. I just heard it a couple of years ago, and I absolutely love it. K.D. Lang.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And her version of Hallelujah. Amazing. It's a religious experience.
Mm-hmm.
But and let's talk about... affecting your career. K.D. Lang came out relatively early,
yes,
as being a lesbian in country music, a country music star. I think probably one of the most amazing voices in the last century.
Yeah.
And I think her career was drastically affected.
Oh, yeah.
By her coming out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she could have been like a Reba, and she wasn't.
You know, and K.D. Lang, of all of the artists now that just... belt out music and just it's loud, K.D. Lang has a subtlety to her music and a nuance to every note she sings, and she's special.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one person whose career was stunted, I believe.
Yeah.
Sad day.
Melissa Etheridge, not so much, interestingly enough, but she also wasn't in the country music.
Yeah, she wasn't in the beer drinking down south kind of
right.
Music theme. So.
Oh, yeah, who else? And are apparently are not actually lesbians. Tattoo, the Russian rock band.
I love them.
Could you sing a few lyrics?
No. I just love them.
Running through my head.
Running through my head.
Yeah, that was the Kias Fady singing some Tattoo. But, yeah, no, like, they came out like, yeah, we're Russian and lesbian, and aren't they, like, related or some crap?
No, they're not related, but they're best friends.
They're besties, yeah. And, like, look at us make out.
They first did a whole lesbian act for their music career, and then they revealed to the whole world that we're not lesbians, but we still do support the GLBT community.
Yeah.
And they still do.
You know, how great that someone's coming out as being a lesbian to advance their career.
Right.
How awesome is that?
And in career building and breaking, back, you know, 10, not even just 10 years ago, if you had a lesbian moment or a scene on a TV show or a movie, your career was basically over. And nowadays...
or jump started, actually.
Well, yeah,
like,
depending.
There's a few movies that, where, like, movies. There's a lesbian kiss. Like, oh, my God, she's such an amazing actress. She's so hot.
Yeah, that's true.
She's a girl.
That's true.
Nowadays, you know, it's kind of a, are you okay with playing gay?
Right.
If not, I mean, we might not be able to hire you.
Well, I mean, it's almost becoming... mainstream. I mean, major actors are
jumping at role opportunities to play gay roles now without the
Julianne
stigma.
Moore, several major characters and people have come out. Yep, go ahead.
Will Smith kissed a man.
Huh?
What? 6 degrees of separation back in the 90s.
I did not see
it. And he makes $20 million a year.
Oh. Like I said, people like Julianne Moore, Zooey Deschanel had a few movies in Sundance, actually, that have, you know, jumped and actually gone out and pursued these roles to play them because they, you know, something that they feel passionate about. So.
Say it again. Will Smith, one of the most highest paid actors in Hollywood, makes $20 million a year every year for the past 10 years, kissed a man in 1991.
Tom Hanks won an Academy Award.
For playing a gay man.
Yeah.
Oh, Philadelphia. That was such a good
right.
movie.
And then Brokeback Mountain, which was the most critically successful and awarded movie that year. Of course, it didn't win the Academy Award.
No.
But, you know, major stars, Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger. Yep. And don't get bigger than that.
Just this last Academy Awards, of course, we had, I can't think,
film.
Lesbians.
The Kids Are All Right.
The Kids Are All Right.
That one was
pretty
good.
And it did win an award. So.
I still need to see that movie.
That movie was all right.
It was a good movie to an extent. I mean, I didn't like some of the aspects of the movie.
I had a lot of stuff about that movie
The idea of the movie was to make it seem like it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
And they did that in some aspects, and they didn't in other aspects.
Right.
I mean, when you... like in books that I've read, when you want to portray sexuality as not being a big deal, you have to stay away from some of the stigma.
Right.
That comes around with it.
I want to throw a shout out to you, actually. Going back a year or two, we were talking about, okay, what can we talk about? What are some topics? What are some things we can do? And we said, what about a book review? We can read a book and review it, and a GLBT book. And you had mentioned one. It was nowhere what I was suggesting as far as a topic for the book, but you threw one out, and I read the book, and it was just amazing. The characters, it was...
Fire Logic.
Yeah, it was a sci-fi type book, and the characters, a lot of the main characters were gay or lesbian, and it dealt with it as if it was a non-issue. It was just a regular part of the story, and there was no major emphasis put on it or not. It was just a non-issue, and I was like, wow, that's how you do it.
Two moms, a dad and a mom. I mean, it didn't matter in the book. In the second book, they have a child, and there's the two dads and the two moms and then the mom and the dad, and nobody pays attention. Yeah. Like it's nothing in this world.
And
that's why I love the book so much. That's why I wanted to mention it, because it's one of the only books I'd ever read where the being gay was not the theme of the book.
Right.
It was just a part of the book.
Right, that's right. You know, my sister made an observation when Fargo came out. She said, you know, here's an example of a movie where a woman's pregnant and that's not the main reason she's in the movie is because she's pregnant. Because when you think of movies and you think of pregnant person, that's the focal point of the movie,
right.
Is this person's being pregnant. And it's almost as if women aren't pregnant just on normal everyday events.
Can't just be pregnant
but then
and have
you had
no drama.
Frances McDormand, who happens to be pregnant, but it has no bearing whatsoever on the story. And that's kind of what Fire Logic did. And that's what things are moving towards,
yeah,
where you have movies, you have TV shows,
right.
Where it's no big deal, it's just everyday, you know.
Now, the unfortunate part about it is that they're for now there's always going to be that coming out story and that struggle, and it's a necessary
right.
thing, but it's also something that people are trying to like in Fire Logic
right.
make it such a not big
right.
deal
right.
and that's what they were trying to do in The Kids Are Alright, was
right.
they were trying to produce a movie that the theme of the movie was not being gay
right.
but a movie about a family going through a struggle.
Right.
And they did an okay job of it. They wanted to push more towards it just being, you know, two moms and
right.
finding the dad.
And, you know, I think that's the next evolution in how GLBT people are portrayed in movies and TV, where Brokeback Mountain, it was all about them being gay.
Yeah.
It was about their struggle, their difficulties. But it dealt with it, you know, it was a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
But the next evolution is where it's a non-issue.
Yeah.
You just have a movie.
And I don't think we're going to get there for a while. I mean, but I hope one day we'll get to the point where it won't be an issue anymore. Right. It won't be like the entire series of the movie is just to get through the coming out process and being proud of who you are.
I think there's still definitely a need for movies like that.
Oh yeah, there's still a need for the coming out story.
Is, you know, the fact that they're gay, because I'll tell you what, like, a lot of the books I read throughout middle school, like, got me through middle school because they were just talking about coming out stories and, you know, like, trying to deal with what's going on and still being the person that you are and not letting it become all of who you are, and not letting it ruin your life, because it's not something horrible, it's just something that's just there. And so there's definitely a place for that, I feel like. And
oh, I do too.
It's an invaluable source, especially to youth and adults who are in the closet.
And it's not like and again, it's not going to go away for a very long time. All of the movies that I can think of at this very moment that are GLBT have been coming out stories or struggles to be who you are, and that's something that's not going to go away for a very long time.
Right.
I'm just waiting for the action movie where the character's a lesbian and it's not about her coming out as
gay. That's right. Right.
Like, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for a movie where the storyline is something about something else.
Laura Croft is a lesbian, but no big deal. It's not about her being a lesbian.
Exactly.
About her big
of course,
boobies.
She's not.
Not a lesbian.
Of course, Laura Croft was a lesbian. Wouldn't it have been cool if she was?
It would have been. It would have been cool to have something.
I like to think that she was a lesbian.
I'm just happy that Angelina Jolie played that character.
And she
going away from that now. no, I mean, I really am waiting for a movie where the character is gay and it's not what the story is about.
Right. Right.
And I'm hoping that we'll get to that point soon. But, you know, we're going to.
And it'd be someone other than the gay best friend who has a minor role.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of that out there. And I mean, Will and Grace was one of the first gay characters, but he was the storyline.
Right.
Was about that.
Right.
So, I mean, we'll get there.
Thought, like, the quirky gay male best friend, or the grumpy lesbian who's always frumpy and in a bad mood. Like,
that's true.
How we get down.
That is very
always
true.
Mad.
Although, The Women, I think, was the name of the movie. Meg Ryan, Jada Pinkett Smith. It came out about 2 years ago. Jada Pinkett Smith played a lesbian.
Oh.
And she was the background character. But, like, she wasn't the grumpy lesbian.
Oh, well, here's an example. Silkwood, Cher's character, was a lesbian.
Yeah.
It was no big deal. Of course, it was based on true story, true people.
True people,
but
true.
They didn't make it a big deal. She just happened to be in the storyline. She was a lesbian. There was not a lot of attention. Yeah. And she wasn't there just because she was a lesbian.
Now, we've gone off topic, so
a little
go back.
Bit. It's so easy to revert to entertainment and stay there.
Yes. Next person in history.
You know, let's talk about sports for a little bit.
Sports.
Big deal.
Sports. Yeah, sports is a big deal. There's been some major people in sports who have come out.
Yeah.
The entire WNBA.
Wow. That's horrible.
Wonderful women.
All of the women who play in the WNBA.
Okay, most of the women.
The majority of the
women in the WNBA. Okay.
So there's a whole...
Tall women.
There's a whole sports machine... For lesbians, that's awesome.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't draw the crowd of lesbians, but yeah. All right. Any players?
Billie Jean King.
Yes.
One of the first ones.
Billie Jean. My dad talks about Billie Jean King and watching like the when she played a guy.
Yeah.
The
I
tournament.
Forget his name. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either.
Bobby Riggs.
There we go.
My dad talked about that for like we were talking about sports for some reason. He's like, yeah, I remember watching Billie Jean King, and she won that, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. A major moment in the women's movement.
Yeah, she won that tournament, and it was just like, huh. I played tennis. That's why my dad talked about it, because I was a tennis kid for a very long time. But, yeah. Who's next?
Well, staying in tennis, Martina Navratilova.
Yeah.
And I forget the gentleman's name, but there was a guy who had a sex change and competed as a woman on the professional tennis.
I know after transitioning, her name was Renee.
Yes, and then...
That's all I remember.
She was kicked off and couldn't participate in
it. I know, I remember she got a lot of flack. Like she made a lot of comments that people didn't like that were kind of anti-trans.
Renee Richards
was her name. Yeah, I don't remember much about it. I remember reading a few articles about her, and I just can't remember much right now, but I remember she said some pretty...
One of the first well-publicized gender reassignment surgery
surgery patients.
Yeah, she was a huge deal, but I remember at one point she started making some pretty not trans friendly comments. And people were getting really upset about it.
Hmm.
I don't remember much about it.
Hmm.
Something to
research. Greg Louganis, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And that's an interesting thing about sports in the GLBT world. More individual sports are more accepting of...
Yeah, we're not going to get a lot of athletes. NFL players coming out as being gay.
There was the one who came out afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards, after he got off.
A couple that came out afterwards. The most recent one was Euricio Tolu, the Samoan football player.
Yeah.
You've got... John Amici from the NBA. You've got the current president of the Phoenix Suns, who just came out as being gay. Gareth Brooks, who's a rugby player in England. A couple of soccer players over in Europe have come out. I thought they were going to say Wayne Rooney had came out, but he came out today as having hair plugs.
I think it's always going to be true, though, that, like, at least for a while here in America, you're not going to get the manly man NFL players.
But I think that's creeping in that direction. And you've got a lot of other things. Yes, I agree with that. But you've got a lot of this, the teammates saying, that's no big deal.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of guys out there that I'm very sure that there's a lot of guys in the locker room who know that the guy next to them is gay.
Right, I think that's
true.
But
he's not going to come out because his major fan base is the white collar.
Right.
White collar, blue collar, whichever.
Blue
collar. There we go. I'm sorry. She's gonna make fun of me the rest of the night.
You work in an office. You don't like NFL.
former Houston Oiler Warren Moon recently came out saying that he knows that he has played with gay players, and as far as he's concerned, you know, you just don't bring sex talk into the locker room, and he didn't have any problem with that.
Yeah,
I think that's great. I think that's definitely. I think it's creeping in that direction, and I think. In the next 10 or 15 years, it will be more of a non-issue, and we'll have people in NFL or baseball and coming out openly.
Not that they aren't already.
Especially, you know, the younger generation is so much more accepting
of
the GLBT issue and coming out and having your best friend, if you're straight, having your best friend gay, it'd be no big deal.
I can't wait to see, you know, when I'm your age, you know.
Thanks.
Not that you're that old.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
Or my dad's age. Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
I didn't. I'm not saying
anything.
Like, 30s, 40s, and 50s. I'm 20 years old. I'm saying 30s, 40s, and 50s. Like, when I'm in those old years.
Hold on.
It's all the same after you're 20, 30, 40, 50.
Yeah, since he and I are in the same age bracket there, your mic is dead.
Okay, you're back on.
I get 30, 40. See, it's all the same. After you're 20, it's just downhill.
Right when I'm about to die and I'm at the end of my life, then, you know, I can look back and see. We're just teasing you. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, when I was in high school, I certainly didn't come out as gay. I was definitely in the closet. So, and more people now are coming out gay so early, and it's great.
Oh, my God. I kind of sometimes wish I could relive, like, me coming out as gay, you know? Like, it was just, it would have been more fun, I think, if I could relive it, you know?
Sure.
Like, I could just be the gay girl at school, and, I mean, there'd be people who'd be all mean to me, but I feel like I could have helped a lot more people, and people would have liked me more.
I think it's definitely moving that way. Well, let's talk a little bit, and when we talk about gay history and GLBT history, let's spend a little bit of time on the AIDS epidemic, which really did and has had such a profound effect and a lingering legacy on everything GLBT from that point on.
Yeah.
1980s was not a good time.
No, it wasn't. There was a lot of just death and sickness and...
Not a lot of education about safe sex back then.
And the government turning their back and not doing what they should have done when it became clear that this was an epidemic and we knew how it was being transmitted, and the government stayed silent on it for so long. when clearly lives could have been saved.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a dark point in our history as a country, not just GLBT history.
I mean, starting out as GRID, you know, gay related deficiency, and then only thinking it had to do with that, and it's time.
Yeah. I was about to say, I totally had a thought, and it was related to the movie Rent, and now it's gone.
Probably dealing with HIV, AIDS.
Yeah. I don't know, I just had like a specific thought, and it just escaped me, but I know it had to do with Rent, and just, you know, like, almost every character in that movie had AIDS.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of them died.
It's one of these hard topics to talk about. It's really...
Yeah, especially I feel like for our generation, because we didn't experience as much of the pain and the suffering and the seeing, you know, your friends dying.
But we
week
are
to week.
We are going through a kind of an interesting issue though in our generation, and that's the I don't care.
Interesting.
And I've met a lot of young men who are in that there's drugs now, it doesn't matter,
right?
And
not to mention that the drugs can actually kill you.
Oh yeah, and they're ridiculously expensive,
right?
And I mean, but there's a large I'm not gonna say a very large, but there's a large group of guys out there who don't care,
right?
Know? They're like, I can just get the drugs,
you know? And there were I don't know anyone personally, but there was this whole movement of, well, I'm going to actively go out and try to get infected with HIV.
I know somebody who thinks like that, and it, like, it honestly really makes me just want to distance myself from that person, because I feel like that's just such an unhealthy way of thinking.
Exactly.
Because, like, his mentality is that he's going to get it anyway, so he might as well just go ahead and do it. And, like, that to me is just, like, the most absurd, just, like, why would you do that?
Right.
Yeah.
That's, like...
You know, and I wonder why that is. I mean, there's that whole fatalistic view of life, and, you know, you just feel like it's inevitable. And that we've done such a good job of letting people know that it's a manageable disease, that the medications have come such a far way. I mean, it's expanded people's lifespans. You know, you can manage the disease now. It's not necessarily a death sentence.
As it was back in the 80s.
Right. So I wonder if somehow that lessens and makes it less scary for people.
Well,
I don't know.
I'll tell you, I do know a person who self-confessed bug chaser. In fact, we were going to do a segment on it here on the show, because I actually had found somebody who was actively seeking that out, who was here in the Houston area, and I was intrigued with the storyline on that because of the reasoning he gave. And eventually it got to a point where I realized that the story of why he's saying why he was interested in it didn't exactly hold water. It did not. That was, you know, what he was trying to say on that, but there was another line. It got to a point where that wasn't his reason for wanting it anymore. And I finally separated from that situation and did not pursue that anymore. And I'll tell you, the idea of having that type of a segment, he spoke to some people in his community that are on this bulletin board and thought it was going to be I was going to bring them on here and expose and, you know, rip one side and down the other.
Right.
But I was looking at it from a purely intellectual standpoint. And like I said, it was just, you know, once the reasoning that he was saying why, when he kind of changed the reason for it, it's like, okay, you're not drinking your own Kool-Aid on this.
Right.
And, you know, then I'm not going to... Because his philosophy on that was not a fatalistic or... survivor's guilt sort of thing. It was the story he gave was it was a sacrament of basically of someone, if he was with somebody who was positive, that it was going to be a sacrament of sharing everything with that person. And in a way I saw that as romantic in a far-reaching sense, but then it got to a point of where the story got to, like, well, I'm about ready to lose this in my life, and, you know, if I have this, then, you know, I can get government help to let me survive if I only, you know, go this extra step. And that was a point when I had to step back from it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole lot easier ways to get help.
Like, I don't know. Like, I gotta have the thought that, like, I feel like some people are just, like, the idea that if you're gay, you will have AIDS is just so drilled into them that they can't even consider the idea that you can be gay and not have AIDS. Like, they grow up in communities where, like, it's taught that they go hand in hand. Gay people catch AIDS.
Just right.
You're gay, you get AIDS. Like, that's how you get AIDS, is having sex with a man. That's how
not AIDS yet, gay.
Yeah. Right. And so
the
they
old
just
signs in the 80s.
Yeah, and so that's the kind of mentality that they have. And then I feel like it's just a really dangerous way of thinking that I'm just going to get AIDS inevitably, so let me just go ahead and go out there. Because I feel like you also have the mentality that once you have AIDS or once you have HIV, you can have sex with whoever you want, because they're going to get it anyway, too.
Right.
So you might, you know, like, you don't have to worry about telling them. You don't have to worry about protecting yourself, because they're going to get it anyway, too.
Right.
They might already have it.
Right.
And that's so dangerous to the community.
It is.
Like, it's,
you know, I've said this on the show before. Whenever I have sex with someone, I say in my mind, this person is HIV positive, and I conduct myself accordingly.
Yeah.
Whether they're HIV or positive or not, doesn't matter. But you treat everyone as if they're HIV positive. And I've had sexual partners who are HIV positive, but there's certain things you do, there's certain things you don't do, and you're just careful.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, whenever we talk about the AIDS epidemic, HIV, you know, something to be noted is the strength of the lesbian community in supporting those people who were affected and really coming and being and standing on the forefront of that fight. I mean, that's something that should be mentioned, acknowledged.
Yeah, some of the biggest AIDS activists that I've met who are really involved with ACT UP are lesbians, older lesbians, and they just, like, they have such a passion for it and such, and it's kind of like something that people thought affected lesbians less, and, you know, it technically, I mean, does.
Well, it does. I mean,
but
it does affect lesbians less.
Yeah, but it's killing our community.
Right.
Like, it's killing our people, and so it's, you know, just as big of a concern.
Right.
Pretty bad.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Houston.
Because
there's some... We did an East Park already, clearly. You know.
We need to go back, though.
A little bit.
A little bit back.
Let's rewind.
So who do you have in mind?
I don't know the name. You did the... You were telling me about it. I don't remember the name, though.
Ray Hill.
Oh, yeah. Ray Hill,
of
course.
Hey, Ray Hill.
Ray Hill.
Ray Hill's listening right now.
Right.
I don't know that he is.
Hey, Ray. When you talk about GLPT history...
Ray Hill.
You can't go without mentioning Ray Hill.
Of course. He's an interesting character.
Right.
But he's definitely at the forefront for Houston rights.
You know, he's
passionate.
Right. And very active in the political caucus.
Oh, yeah.
And when you talk about events, especially within GLBT history, 1978, big year.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
where you have the gay political caucus starts up.
Mm-hmm.
The big town hall meeting among the GLBT community here in Houston. A lot of gays and lesbians got together and said, what do we need to do? What's lacking? How do we promote our community? How do we address certain issues? And then from that meeting, a lot of the organizations that we now know and rely on actually came from that. Montrose Counseling Center, Legacy, Bearing perhaps. The Gay Lesbian Switchboard that may have come out of that meeting. So much of what we have today came from the fruits of that meeting.
Yep.
So 1978, bunch of people getting together and saying, okay, what do we need as a community? And from those actions basically defined the GLBT community 20 years later.
That's amazing.
It's pretty big.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Power of ideas, the power of movements, the power of people.
The power of people. Oh, I love that sentiment. Such a loser. But yeah.
Well, and of course, there's one event that we haven't talked about yet that's probably foremost.
Oh yeah. Well, we were saving the best for last. It's a big event, and it's an event that's happening this month. That started in an interesting way. So Pride. Came from, I don't want to talk about this guy.
Oh, okay. Well, we celebrate Pride every year in June at the most hottest time of the year. Not because we enjoy to be sweaty.
Yeah, no, that's why we do it at night in Houston.
Right.
But because that is the anniversary of the Stonewall Riots that happened in New York.
In 1969,
the same year we went to the moon.
In June. Yep.
Did we go to the moon in June?
No, not June.
But in 69.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, so
in 1969, yeah. The Stonewall Riots. Basically, they happened at the Stonewall Inn, which...
I think it was a bar.
It was a bar. It was called.
It was one of those, you know,
half girls, half guys, right, went in together, separated right when they got inside.
And when we talk about bar, we're not talking about a nice place either. Yeah. We're talking about,
this was a dive.
Right.
The Stonewall Riots also, they started at the Stonewall Inn, but they went all over the community in that area, all of the clubs.
For weekends.
So to set the stage a little bit, so you have these gay, lesbian...
Hidden bars. Everyone knew they paid the cops right off to keep it
that's
quiet.
Right. Because you could be arrested for being in a gay bar.
Exactly. Yes.
You could be
arrested at a bar that was strictly one orientation.
Right. And, you know, and during that period, a lot of times if you were arrested in such a way, then you were listed in the newspaper.
Yep.
As being arrested or found in a gay and lesbian organization or...
That's why they would have the two halves. One half was for men and one half was for women, and everyone went in together and this came out together.
You know, and you know, you'd stand next to someone and maybe hold their hand. It wasn't overt. So that kind of sets the setting.
Now, what set the cops off? I don't remember.
You know, the drag queens probably set the cops off.
They were throwing their pump. I remember one year I was here, and I think it was Jimmy that did the Stonewall thing with me. And was telling me about how the drag queens were throwing their shoes.
Right.
Jimmy has a smile on his face back there. Was it you? I think it was you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Let's hear from Mr. Jimmy.
Oh, he's coming. Ooh. Oh,
or maybe not.
So
you have these cops coming in, and they are making arrests. They're busting a gay bar.
Yeah.
Because it's a gay bar.
Oh, he's got his headphones on. Yay.
Yay. It's Jimmy time.
I feel like it's Christmas time.
Okay, what do you want to know?
We're all gathering around. We're all gathering around on Christmas morning waiting to hear the story. we're talking about gay history moments, and we've come to Stonewall.
The Stonewall Inn was a bar in New York, very seedy, run by the mafia, because it was illegal for more than three homosexuals to gather in any one place at one time, and it was also illegal to serve alcohol to a homosexual.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that part.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes. You've got the mic there, dear.
Oh,
yes. So, the bars got raided, consistently, was it the night of the funeral or the night she died?
Yeah.
The night of the funeral.
Funeral. Yeah. The night of the funeral of Judy Garland.
Gay icon, if ever there were one.
Absolutely the gay icon. They raided the Stonewall Inn.
They knew it before.
And what pissed them off, what pissed the patrons off, is that it had just been raided. You know, I guess...
you plan these things.
The thinking is that somebody didn't get paid off.
Right.
Because that's how a gay bar stayed open in New York. So, everybody was upset over the Judy Garland thing. The bar had just been raided. They were pissed off at that. So, usually, when they went to raid a gay bar, they just sent a few cops because... All the men and women just were very docile because they didn't want to go to jail. But this time, tempers flared.
Yeah.
And a drag queen was trying to, they were trying to put a drag queen in the back of the squad car, and she resisted. And that set it off. Everybody in the bar started resisting. And before you knew it, the police were inside the bar, the patrons were outside the bar, and they were throwing things. They pulled up a parking meter.
Wow. That's gay power.
Amazing how adrenaline will do it.
Yes. They tried to set fire to the bar. And the police had a call for...
Set fire to the police cars instead.
Mm-hmm. So the police had to call for backup. And by that time, it was a full...
War
going on. Yeah. Absolutely. And it lasted the entire weekend.
Wow.
Wow.
There'd be skirmishes all around the area around the bar.
Hmm. I remember that was my first Pride week. You did this with us because I didn't know anything about Stonewall, and you sat and you did the Stonewall introduction for the kids who had no idea what Stonewall was.
Stonewall is for the GLBT community our 4th of July.
Yeah,
it's our Independence Day.
Yeah.
That's when we finally stood up and said, we're people too.
Right.
And we don't need to be pushed around.
Right.
It spread from the East Coast to the West Coast and finally...
Met in the middle.
It took a couple of years.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Yep.
It's still coming along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we do ours at night. Because it's Texas.
That's
and
right.
Hot.
And during the 70s, actually... there were three areas to visit if you wanted to visit gay people and bars and gay culture. It was the East Coast, the West Coast, and Houston.
Mm.
Hmm.
We were big. You can go back to Advocates from that era, and there are articles about Houston. And, you know, what a great place it is, go visit, blah, blah, blah.
We have Mary's.
Naturally.
Ah.
Yeah, we have Mary's.
I've heard of Mary's.
And one year in the Gay Pride Parade, they had an elephant.
Wow.
Huh? Because of Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
I remember being a kid at a Westheimer Street Festival when it used to exist. Mm-hmm. And my parents were vendors, and we would set up right across the street from Mary's. And I can remember being this 5 or 6 year old kid going, the ladies are so nice, look at them dancing on top of the building. My dad brings this up to me occasionally. He's like, yes, the nice ladies were very nice. The ladies would take me and my sister into the restroom at Mary's because the porta potties were worse than the restrooms in Mary's. And my dad talks to me today about how the nice ladies were something he didn't want to explain. Yeah.
Stonewall is definitely, I mean...
Oh, yeah. Stonewall.
Hatch is part of the legacy of Stonewall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that came after, everything that we enjoy now came from Stonewall.
Oh, yeah.
As its genesis.
And that's why we survived the heat in the last Saturday in June.
Oh, God.
Wait. But we do it at night.
You know, you wouldn't change the 4th of July.
And so was Stonewall.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't change the 4th of July to September.
But Dallas does. Dallas changed it.
I don't know who they think they are having their pride in, what, October?
Well, they call theirs the Ross Somebody Parade.
Oh, well.
Ross Somebody...
Well, not everybody started their parades in 69 because or started their parades because of Stonewall.
No, right. No, and in the beginning, the parades were not what they are today. They were...
No.
They were protest parades.
Right. Yeah. Office workers, people in suits, you know, every day. The whole thing, the whole deal was to look like your neighbor and everyday person on the street.
That's right.
Then, you had a bat on your head.
Then the parade became more of showing off our culture and community. But with all the different groups that we had, big, small, and now it's more of a celebration and a lot more corporate.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They got really corporate in Austin.
It's
corporate in Houston, too.
Smaller organizations can barely afford to, or can't afford.
Smaller organizations cannot afford it.
Right. Yeah. And, Jimmy, I know the Pride's parade where it used to be in daytime. When did it officially start the first night for Pride Parade?
1997.
Yeah. That was in 89.
And that's because, I know that. Because I was the Grand Marshal that year.
Nice.
Very nice.
Clap, clap, clap for Jimmy.
Also, though, in Dallas, they do have a march in June, but it's like it's a more protest-oriented march. Mm-hmm. I forget what they call it. I could actually look it up if... I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
They've just been doing it for like just the last 3 or 4 years.
Oh, okay.
It's not like something that's been running for too long. Mm-hmm. Just recently they started doing it. Just a really protest-oriented kind of thing.
Oh, that's what we're going back to.
Dallas is very different from Houston. I mean, they have a large gay community, but it's... I don't want to say it's closeted, but they're not always very open.
Hmm.
They starch their shirts.
Mm. Yeah, it's not as nice a city just in general. I mean, the people, I don't think the people are as nice in Dallas as they are in Houston.
Well, they can be kind of cliquish.
A little, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes?
So I'm like on Facebook right now, and someone just messaged me, and they want to quote you, and they want to know what your last name is.
Carper, Carper.
They must be from out of town.
No, he's from here.
Huh?
He's from Houston. I guess he just said something he really liked and he wants to quote you.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
Aww.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, city of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Facebook right now, so that's why I haven't really been talking much. And, like, okay, like, I went to high school in Clarksville, Tennessee, okay?
Wow.
I'm sorry.
And I know, me too. It wasn't the best thing in the whole world.
Been there, done that.
And, like... just recently, like, in the last, like, few months, like, 4 people have, like, messaged me on Facebook, like, can I talk to you, Lakia? I have something I want to talk to you about. And I'm like, oh, let me guess, you're gay. And, like...
You need help on your algebra homework.
You need to talk to someone about being gay. And, like, I swear, like, this just happened to me just now, like, and 2 of them are, like, adult men. Like, they're my former drum instructors.
Really?
Yes. And they're messaging me, like, and, like, one of them is like, hey, do you have time to talk later? I'm like, what's it about? And he's like, I don't know if you're going to believe this, but I think I'm bisexual. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy. No one from back home ever wants to talk to me unless they want to tell me they're gay.
Right.
It's so crazy. I feel like I need to, like, move back to Clarksville and start a queer group there so they can all find each other.
Then they'll be straight.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know, but, like...
They can only be gay to the out-of-towner.
It seems like, yeah, like, everybody there is either gay or bisexual.
Look where they live.
It's crazy. It's like, as I'm sitting here on the radio talking about queer history, someone's like, hey, can I talk to you?
Give them the switchboard number.
Right.
I love you, Judy.
713-529-3211.
Right.
Great organization.
I was with them for 15 years.
Right.
Quote of the day from Judy. Look where they're from. I love that. I'm going to keep that.
Hey, have you ever heard of Bowling, Texas?
Oh.
Don't go there.
Oh.
Makes Wharton look like a thriving metropolis.
Wow.
And I wonder, how did you survive in that atmosphere?
Have you met her?
Yeah. I'm pretty
that's
intense.
Perfect.
I know. I mean, you must have felt suffocated.
You know, I actually do feel really suffocated whenever I go home. Like I'm pretty out here. Like, I mean, anyone who talks to me, anyone who's friends with me on Facebook knows I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pretty excited about it. But, like, every time I go home to visit, like, I feel like I'm being, like, sucked back into the closet.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have to put all my rainbow pins away and take off my big fancy rainbow earrings and, like... I don't know. It's the weirdest feeling. It's just the environment. Like, you know, like when you go back home, you kind of get that feeling like back when you were in high school. I kind of get that feeling like
you're
can't tell anybody.
Mm.
It's really intense. Like, and it's I have to consciously override that feeling. Like, it's okay to talk about my girlfriend. It's okay to talk about all the stuff that I do. It's not a bad thing. It's not, people aren't going to be mean to me about it. You know, like,
right.
I have to consciously remind myself, like, it's okay. It's such a weird feeling. Like, it's like you just get sucked into a vacuum and everything's just like,
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really
so
bizarre.
You never get hassled about it?
No. Like, I did once. Like, the first time I went home after being at school, we had a pool party because I went home for the summer, and my old drum instructor, like, we all just hang out together, like, all my drumline friends and my drum instructors and stuff. And we were at one of my old friend's house, and our drum instructor was there burying his cat in the backyard.
Oh, good.
It was really bizarre.
That's surreal.
It was weird. And then, like, we were chilling in the pool, you know, having fun and stuff, and he's over in the yard digging, and then he's digging a grave for a cat. It's so weird. And then he, like, I don't remember what was being talked about, but
continue.
Oh, we have our. We're at the top of the hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're past the top of the hour. So I got to quickly say, you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, unless you're sponsored commercial free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We'll pretend we played the PSAs.
Okay.
Takes me a minute to catch my breath when you're done.
Right.
So, continue.
Okay, and so, like, we were digging, they were talking about sex. I don't know what we were talking about. And he said something that was really vulgar. And then he was like, "Oh, you don't do that, do you, Lakia? What do lesbians do together?" And I was like, "Really? You had to tell the whole neighborhood?"
Oh, my God.
Like, because he was in the yard, and we were in the pool, and he was just yelling across at us. I was like, "You had to tell everyone."
Can you buy a billboard?
Right.
Right? And, like, not that, you know, that would bother me at any, like, any other time, but it's just, like, just being in Clarksville, it's like everything gets quiet. And, like, the queer community is so underground there, it's, like, it's really, like, seedy and, like, just...
It's like 1969 Stonewall.
Yeah.
But that's not an unusual feeling when you're an adult or a semi-adult or whatever, and you go back home.
Yeah.
Everybody, because you're going back into the world where you were a child,
right.
And you take on those childlike properties again because the parents cannot treat you like an adult.
Right.
So even straight people have that same problem.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah. It's so bizarre, though.
Yeah, it gives a very uncomfortable feeling. Try it in Fringy, Mississippi.
Yeah, I'm just wigging out because, like, these adults, like, these people who used to, like, my teachers and my instructors are, like, emailing me, like, "Hey, so... I have some questions about my sexuality, and I was hoping you could help me clear them up." Like, okay.
Okay. Yes, it's okay that you like both men and women.
I charge $135 an hour. What do you want?
Like, I really feel like I need to move back to Clarksville and be a counselor for, like, GLBT youth and adults. Like, because there's really no venue to express yourself there at all whatsoever. It's horrible.
Mm.
I mean, But
these days... kids have the internet.
Yeah, sure.
That is such a lifesaver.
It is.
Yeah, if you're real coffee, you can find out where.
I mean, that's how they were reaching out to me right now through the internet.
Yeah.
That's the only way they got. So sad.
I know, because just not that long ago, it wasn't there, and you didn't have it.
Right.
So you listen to After Hours under your dining room table.
That's right. You know, I met someone the other day who we were talking somehow After Hours. The Hatch segment came up. And he said that he, as a 14-year-old kid, he would stay up at night to listen to After Hours. This was years and years and years ago. And he said it was a lifesaver for him.
Jimmy runs into people like that who are adults all the time. Oh, I know that voice.
Right.
You know.
Especially when I laugh.
Right.
The voices.
I know I have a distinctive voice.
It's Jimmy.
Yeah.
You remember when I first started coming here, my dad asked me for your autograph?
Wow.
Yes.
My dad is a cab driver here in the Montrose, and so he's inevitably up at this hour.
Right.
And I had just, this is my second or third time at the radio station, and he's like, "Can you please get me the autograph?" And I was like, "Dad, what?" He's like, "Can you please get me his autograph?" And I was like, "Okay."
That's very cool.
And
I was so flattered.
Yeah. He's actually got the two autographs in a picture frame on his wall.
Really?
Wow. He does. He has, and he's
He's the man everyone thinks is gay. He's a very eclectic male.
Wow.
But he, amongst all of his other things, he's got a picture, an antique picture frame with the paper that has your two autographs sitting on his wall. And I was like, aw. Oh,
that's got to make you feel good.
Oh, my God.
Until they auction.
Oh.
We should go home now.
Oh, you're too much.
Oh. Wow.
Oh. Oh, by the way, just for the record, honey, you are a drag queen already.
Yeah. Oh. How am I a drag queen already?
Watching you sing a few minutes ago, it's like, oh, please.
Because you have the fashion sense of two genders. That's the, isn't that the definition
well,
of
two? I've been
Mr. Earth's closet if you need a wardrobe and wigs.
Well, I've been looking into being androgynous as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love androgyny.
I love to fool people.
Oh dear.
Jeez. Oh yeah, no, that's not a drag queen giggle, no.
What?
Nothing.
Huh?
That's a drag queen? What?
Huh?
Nothing.
It's okay.
Huh?
It's okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You guys are a bird.
Deep breaths, deep breaths.
I can't breathe.
Oh, drag queen.
Oh my gosh.
This is perfect.
I'm having a hard time.
Did you try to kill him? Not me, her.
Oh. Oh no, I'm only 19.
Oh, you'll be okay.
He even sings in Soprano. You miss that.
Already getting the
he sings well in Soprano.
Female pronoun.
Girl, stop rubbing that heart. It's okay. You're going to do this.
All right.
Slow I think there's one more event, definitely, that we need to touch upon.
Oh?
Oh, yeah.
I think.
And that's that just happened, actually, here in Houston was the start of it all. It's a couple of years ago. The next big event in GLBT history, I think. And that's the Lawrence versus Texas experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I've been
probably one of the biggest events in GLBT history in the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even
in
the
last
that.
Several years. Yeah. Especially
in and it was though. Years in the making.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you don't know, for our listeners, it was the Supreme Court case that basically decriminalized sodomy laws and basically made gay sex, lesbian sex,
no longer illegal.
Illegal.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For
and
a very long time,
across America, that's
right.
The Supreme Court who
yes.
did it.
Right.
For a very long time, it was if you had sex with same sex. It was illegal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, someone got arrested. That's what how the court case came about. I know the story vaguely. A neighbor was upset because their next-door neighbor was making a lot of noise, so he called the police to complain about it. The police break into the apartment or come into the apartment and see these two guys.
Because they said there was something about a gun.
Somehow some reference to a gun.
Mm-hmm.
They break into the apartment, see these two guys getting after it, and they
arrest them for sodomy.
Arrest them for sodomy.
Getting after it.
Mm-hmm. It had been the first time in a very long time that anybody had been arrested for sodomy.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And that's when the lawyers jumped on that to see if they could use this as a test case.
Because you always had the threat that if you got arrested for expressing yourself sexually with the person you loved of the same sex, that you could be classified as a sex offender.
But because the law was on the books, and they really didn't use it, because the law was still on the books, you could not get a job as an openly gay person in a police department because you were officially a criminal.
Mm.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Huh.
And there's probably all kinds of other ramifications that we're not even thinking about. I mean, it was something that definitely lorded over people and threatened people and was the hidden villain in the background.
Sure, it was used to keep us down.
That's right.
And it being decriminalized has definitely like paved the way for the legalization of marriage because you can't feasibly legalize gay marriage if having gay sex
if you
is
can't
illegal.
Actually have sex.
Now technically the law is still on the books. They never took it away. It's
and
just
that's the biggest problem
it's
with our law.
Totally ineffective.
Right.
They're actually just recently. I forget. I think it was Representative Ferreira for. I forget. I don't even know what district.
Jessica Ferreira?
Yeah, Jessica Ferrer. She proposed a piece of legislation to actually take it off the books.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what happened with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just was reading about it in March, so I'm not too sure where it's gone now, but it's like we were talking about it at Lobby Day when we went to Lobby Day. It was basically like it's already been, you know, mm-hmm. handed down from the Supreme Court. We just need to officially take it off the books.
Exactly.
Just, you know, it's a gesture.
It is.
That needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So woo to Jessica Ferrera.
Right.
She's my
right.
representative.
That's right. And being in Texas, it takes somebody with balls to do that.
Right.
Yes.
Because there's still a lot of opposition.
Right.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And, of course, you know, if you wanted to adopt and you were a gay couple, you know.
Yeah, you couldn't.
Certainly made it more difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Poor children.
Yeah.
Another big person and big movement-causing thing in our history and person and event. I mean, the person's a very important person, but right. also the event that happened
right.
Caused a very great movement, and that's Harvey Milk.
Yeah.
Mm, absolutely.
Galvanized a generation.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Penn.
His mantra was come out.
Yep.
Come out of the closet.
Yep.
And we did.
We did, yeah.
And when we started coming out of the closet, then
we built computer desks with the doors.
No, it's people realized that they actually knew homosexuals.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's 10% stuff. It's just not going to cut
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
We are everywhere.
Right. Yeah. And that's what he said. You know, when we all come out, when we all step out of the closet, they will see that we're everywhere.
Right.
We're their teachers, we're their doctors, we're, yeah. you right. know, all the way down the line.
Right.
And
it's
it worked.
Yeah. It's oh, yeah. it's important for people, everyday people, to come out
mm-hmm.
and be out at work, to let your neighbors know you're gay, mm-hmm. to let, you know, the organizations that you participate in. Not because it's about, I'm gay, I'm proud, I want everyone to know. It's about them knowing that you're just a normal, regular
yeah.
person.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You're putting a face to, you know, homosexuality.
Right.
That's right.
Like,
you can't demonize and think the worst of people you know. But yeah. if you don't know anyone, then you're susceptible to believing all the right-wing rhetoric that's mm-hmm. that are lies.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I resent these stars and entertainers and so on
yeah.
who go on and make their first million on my money and then come out.
Yeah.
No, you're going to come out, do it at the beginning of your series, not your last season.
Yeah, we've actually we talked about that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Some performers that had no effect on their career, others it did
yeah.
by ended
what?
Their careers.
If it has an effect on your career, you need to be out there fighting.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's not a matter
you
of
be.
Let's see, I'm going to decide if I want my first million or not, so I'm going to come out maybe tomorrow. No. You're gay, you admit it to yourself, that's fine. Once you admit it to yourself, you come out. And you don't wait 4.5 years or 5.5 seasons or whatever of your show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And do it on my dollar. And then if you're affected by it, well, you got your $1 million to live on. You don't really need mine anymore.
Yeah.
And I really resent that. I will not support them.
Yeah.
But I've been saying for years that the real gay activists of this era are the men, the couples, men and women, who go off to suburbia,
yeah.
buy a house, live their lives,
yeah.
and are good neighbors.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
showing the rest of America who we are.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We had a PFLAG, and I've told the story before, but I think it's a powerful one. We had a PFLAG speaker at Hatch once, and she said that she wished for one day that there would be a magic blue light that shone on every gay, lesbian, bisexual person all across the world.
Why?
And
at first,
that was my reaction. I was like, wow, really? And then after she started talking a little bit more, and she's right, because then you'll know that the person who's been waiting on you down at the restaurant for the last 10 years that you love is gay.
Mm-hmm.
The person that, you know, your nephew or your niece who, you know, you just love as your own is gay or lesbian.
That grumpy old lady in your office who everyone thinks is a lesbian really isn't.
That's right. That's exactly right. The person you thought all along was.
Yeah.
And then that's how, once people know that the people they know, they love, they count on, they trust are gay, then it becomes more and more of a non-issue.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it backfires in your face and you stop going to the restaurant because you're afraid of that waiter, or, you know, and it does happen.
Yeah.
And I think a few people, you know, would have a light on them and not even realize that they would have.
Well, sure. I mean, there's...
That would bring a lot of, you know...
Questions.
Internalized homophobia to light.
Well, yeah, and a lot of these...
It's not your job to bring them out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these people who are the first ones to condemn homosexuality, homosexuals are wrong, they're going to hell. Guess what?
Gay.
They're actually gay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
right. It would be an interesting situation. I wonder, though, if I would wake up one morning and have my dad with a blue light over his head. It would be a perfect moment.
I think my dad would have a light, really light blue light over his head.
My stepdad would have had a dark blue light over his head.
Well, like I have said many a time on the show, and I'm sure he's listening to it right now.
Hi, Dad.
My dad knows all the words to Cabaret. He has the record. He is the fashion and home decor design catalog collecting man.
Can you spell closet?
But, I mean, come on. Straight people can like musicals, too.
Yes,
straight people, straight people can have good fashion sense.
But you know what? That's just all the more reason for you to love him that much.
Right. Exactly. I love my dad. And I blame, I don't blame this, I don't blame at all, the word's not the word blame, but I give credit to the fact that he's a cab driver in the Montrose, and he's been a cab driver in the Montrose for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of came upon him as a way of thinking and a musical sense that he would have previously had.
Right.
But, yeah, I would love to wake up one morning and see a blue light over my dad's head and be like, yes, I knew it.
And maybe he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Dude, I just thought something was totally bad.
What'd you think?
I can't say it on the radio.
Oh,
dear. I can't, but I will write it down.
Oh, she's going to write it down. Hold on.
I wanted to say, I don't know if metrosexual applied to your vocabulary.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, metrosexual is my father.
Well, he sounds like he is.
Yeah,
and isn't that great? Now the things that we've associated with being gay, or specifically with gay males, are now cool.
Yes.
For straight guys. I mean, when straight guys wear sparkly shirts, I mean, that's got to be a good thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and guys wearing pink these days,
right.
Not caring.
Not caring. And, you know, I think the other great thing is when a gay or a lesbian person says, oh, my best friend is straight.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, I can't say that.
I have lots of best friends who are straight.
My best friend's straight. He's transgender, but he's straight.
And yeah.
My best friend's gay.
Hang in there, girl.
I love him, though. He's the bestest bestie in the whole world.
But I do.
I don't know. I don't have a lot of lesbian friends, just because I don't know a lot of lesbians, and then there's always the issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's so horrible, but there's always issues.
Oh. I really think most of the world is bisexual to a certain degree.
I can maybe
we have to go there.
I know. You know me. Because it's a spectrum.
Yeah, as long as you there's extremes and there's nuances. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's true.
I can't. Yeah,
I think in the animal kingdom, I think a lot of animal species have a spectrum of bisexuality.
Oh yeah, it's been proven.
Right,
time and time again with all different species.
Yeah, it's natural.
It's absolutely. I'm away from the microphone. My bad. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. And a lot of people are coming up with these new ideas of what sexuality is, and there's all these new studies out about how people's sexual orientation changes and is fluid. And
it can. Mm-hmm. It can.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I mean, it's feel there's like a lot of rats. Studies out there. Huh?
Feel like lab rats. They're always studying us like we're
they're
something
always
special.
Studying it. Everybody,
we're not special, we're people.
Everybody wants to study everything. It's the idea of understanding things better, even though some things should be left to mystery.
That is my forte, chemist major here. Math, science.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to bring Hatch to a close tonight. We're going to, again, make some major announcements. This month is Hatch Prom, June 10th. At 401 Bernard, 20 and under are free. 21 and up is a $25 donation. The theme of this year's Hatch Prom is Over the Rainbow. So, of course, Wizard of Oz. We invite everyone to come. It's one of our biggest fundraisers for Hatch, and I hope to see everybody there. And that is the... Oh, we got... Okay. Phone numbers. Hatch and then... The phone number for Hatch is 713-529-3590. And I'll say that again, 713-529-3590. And you can always find Hatch on the World Wide Web by searching Google Hatch Houston or hatchyouth.org, right?
Mm-hmm. Or just
right.
Google Hatch.
Or, yeah, just Google Hatch.
Yes. Sorry, my throat. Okay, and the hotline number, the switchboard number is 713-529-3211. I'll repeat that again, 713-529-3211.
And you can call the switchboard for anything. If you have a question on the best restaurant to go to or the best club that is GLBT friendly, they can help you with that. And they can also help you with very important things as well. And they're open 24 hours. So definitely call them if you have any questions.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, my throat was.
Oh my God, is it contagious to give you that? I've been coughing all night.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm tired.
Right.
But you guys have been great tonight.
All right. So
I have to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I have to work in the morning. I have to be at work at 11.
I have to be at work at 10:30.
I get to sleep as late as I want.
I have to volunteer at 1:30 tomorrow for the event.
It's time to go to bed.
Yeah.
Everyone have a wonderful night.
See you at Pride.
See you at prom.
Bye.
And I'm the lovely drag queen. Okay, bye.
Oh.
Gwen Avery with The Thrill Is Gone. Oh, there we go. Yes, that's what gays in Russia are supposed to look like. Not the ones that you usually see in the pornos.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Just taking a quick look here. I don't have the audio on it because the audio and the video doesn't sync on there. The video of the week that I put up on our Facebook page was from a show in Russia called Yesterday Live, which did a dramatization of the struggle for getting a gay pride parade in Moscow. And basically, they have these two groups of people. There's a group of soldiers, and I'm not familiar with the flag they're carrying in, and a group of gay men coming in on the pride parade here, carrying a rainbow flag, and one is we started off with doing the arm signals for YMCA.
Oh my goodness!
And most of them are the Nellier club kid scene.
Right, right.
They do have one that's leather like.
Butchette,
yeah.
Butchette, I love it.
There, and basically they are doing a takeoff of West Side Story, the two groups singing a song to the tune of America. And so, you know, they're showing off tattoos to show how butch they are, and it's just a very weird take on it, considering the fact of how
violent the opposition has been.
In Soviet Russia, homosexuality is still not allowed. Oh. Sorry, I had to channel Yakov Smirnoff for a bit. But the funniest part about it is, you know, once again, here you've got these guys pretending to be these quote-unquote straight army soldiers, and they're prancing around pretty well, just like in West Side Story.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's an interesting little take on there. You can see some of the stuff there. Like I say, it's something different, a different look on Pride events there. This is part of their national television broadcast, I believe, on there. The show is called Yesterday Live. No other stories about what it is, and no one's commented on it yet.
They're probably still trying to go. They're probably still scratching in their heads, going, "The hell is this?"
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it was nationwide, and I think I found this on. I'm going to say it was either Joe My God or Boy Culture. So, not exactly sure which one it was.
I can't get sound on my computer right now. So.
Huh?
I can't get sound on my computer right now, so I haven't looked at it.
Well, your tech support is...
is on his birthday party. He's celebrating without me.
That's if Greenpeace didn't push him back in the water.
Or something like
all
that.
All right, well... Hey, finally someone else is showing up for Roundtable.
Oh, look, it's a giraffe.
Shut up.
And I guess Jimmy is still on moment, is on...
His 4 minutes.
Minute seven of his 4 minute cigarette.
Yeah.
He's still out there, second one? Or is he too busy coughing up a lung?
Yeah.
Actually, he's just out there, second one, from what I saw.
Okay.
Our favorite topic to start off a roundtable discussion with this week in Holy Crime.
Woo!
Over the last 7 days, Wisconsin Pastor David E. Ratkick charged with sexual assault of a 16-year-old student.
Ooh.
And of course, since they didn't say male or female, we're going to assume it was probably a female, because, you know, not sensationalistic enough. Georgia, Pastor David Pope charged with child molestation. Wisconsin, again, Father Michael Nowak charged with making obscene phone calls to underage girls.
Oh, my
Ooh.
God.
Kentucky, Pastor Jeremy Caraway charged with child rape.
Ooh.
Arizona, two Mormon bishops will not be charged for failing to report a church member who confessed to child molestation. Missouri, Father Sean Rannigan pleads not guilty to taking pornographic photos of young girls. Nevada, Pastor Raymond Mosley charged with compelling a 4-year-old to touch his genitals. Michigan, Pastor Christopher Settlemore sentenced 15 years in prison for a sexual assault on a minor. Delaware, Father James O'Neill has confessed to molesting a preteen boy hundreds of times over several years. The victim, now 43, has settled a lawsuit with the Diocese of Wilmington.
That'll never work.
When did it no longer become bad touch?
My guess would be about 40 years ago.
West Virginia, Pastor Matthew Gerald kills himself in jail after being charged with rape. New York, the ultra-Orthodox Agudath Israel of America has ruled that rabbis must first be consulted before notifying police about child molestation.
Oh, so they have to debrief.
They can cover it up.
So they can debrief them first, or what? Uh-huh.
Probably make a deal. Louisiana, youth pastor Angelo Galat indicted on multiple counts of molesting children as young as 9 years old.
Ooh.
And the winner, from the Netherlands, a Dutch Catholic priest identified as Father Van B, has admitted to serving on the board of directors of a group lobbying for the legalization of pedophilia. The priest's superior says he was aware of Father Van B's involvement with the group. The church is said to be investigating.
Please,
they're investigating.
Wow.
I'm sorry, that just sounds really, really
shady.
Disgusting.
Please remember, we do the This Week in Holy Crimes not to be religion or Christian bashing. It's just that one of the pillars of our belief on Roundtable is hypocrisy.
Yes.
And we like putting out stories of these people who do these sort of things that shouldn't be doing them, most likely.
You know that one guy, that one priest that hung himself? He's got a higher payday coming out. I hope he realizes that.
But if you want to find out more of the stories on here, if you go to the JoeMyGod.blogspot.com, JoeMyGod.blogspot.com, he actually has the links to the original stories on his website, which is where we steal that from all the time. Since we were talking earlier about Hatch Prom, here's something out of Florida. Seniors at McFatter Technical High School in Davie, Florida, have chosen a bullied transgender teen, Andrew Verivos, and a gay teen, Juan Marcias, as their prom queen and king.
Taking a stand there, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew says some McFatter teen... McFatter. Pleaded with school management not to allow her to run for queen. Many students have started a petition to have me removed from the ballot, Andrew wrote last week on a Facebook message. They are also outraged and say that I'm making a mockery of prom because I'm going in an evening gown. Last year, school officials suggested Andrew not dress as a female in class to tone it down, she said. This year, we got a new principal who's very supportive of me, Andrew said, even encouraged me to run for prom queen. She said, stay in the running, don't back down for anything. McFatter seniors who voted Friday night also chose a prom king, Juan Marcias, a 17-year-old gay male senior. Andrew, also known as Andy, plans to change her name to Andrea after she transitions. She also has incredibly supportive parents who took her shopping for her gown.
Well, that was nice of them.
That's good.
I've got a picture here of the
I've seen a lot worse prom queens.
Yeah. Hey, look at it this way. You don't have to worry about the prom king knocking up the prom queen.
There you go. See?
Great.
I had to find the silver lining.
I thought that was on their double... Never mind.
Again?
Let's talk about those wacky Christianist organizations.
Again? What do they do this time?
The Florida Family Association warns all of Orlando about gays at Disney World.
Oh, these morons again. Come on.
The Florida Family Association's airborne banner warning everyone in Orlando about the gays at Disney World.
So, we're some of the friendliest people in the world.
They say FFA wants to warn these families about the offensive event before they arrive at the Magic Kingdom on Saturday. I guess it was today. You can see a looping video of the Sky Banner on their website. Can we just love the word warning at the start of the banner? Makes it sound like Captain Hook or Ursula the Sea Witch. You know, most Disney villains are gay.
So, right? What, there wasn't anybody with a broom, you know... Spelling out the words?
No flying monkeys.
Oh.
It was one of those, you know, the signs that have the little big warning letters on there. Warning, gay day at Disney, 6-4.
Oh, well...
I'm sorry, most of the people that are going on the day know it's the gay day, and they don't care.
And a lot of the time, it isn't just gays, it's families that go.
And you have to remember, you know... Disney doesn't really stop it. They don't encourage it. It just a whole bunch of gay people show up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're wearing red shirts, but you know, they don't stop it. They're not supporting it. They're not doing anything special except the fact that, you know, you can go through some groups and get, you know, discounted tickets, but you can do that if you bring enough people to.
Yeah. Right. If you go like I mean, if you try to stop them from coming in, that would be considered discrimination, and then Walt Disney could be sued for that. So that's why they don't bother stopping them.
Yeah, but the queers aren't covered under the normal discrimination law. So
right. Just, especially in Florida. Yeah.
So that,
Disney's not going to turn away the money for the tickets.
True.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take $20. You know, they'll take. Yeah, you know, they may 20? Not get. The, well, whatever the discount. I
haven't
ticket
been
is.
For a while lately.
I've never been.
You got it, girl.
He did it without jingling too. Which,
what's it cost to get in there?
Oh, I think like a day pass is like $149 an hour or something like that.
What?
Yeah.
And a weekly pass is
a week. It was $300 or $400.
Oh yeah. My God.
That's why Bruce isn't going.
Speaking of other Christianist groups, another year, another American Family Association boycott against Home Depot for their, quote, corporate endorsement of gay prides and such. This year, the AFA delivered a petition with over 470,000 signatures asking the Home Depot to quit supporting gays. The Home Depot basically said, quote, thanks for the free publicity, and then proceeded to ignore the ever-living woo-hoo out of their dumb petition.
Oh, good God.
I am reading Queerty, so...
Oh, yes. You forgot to preface that.
I didn't realize it was going to go into the ever-loving hoo-hoo. Do you want to hear what the spurned AFA director sounds like? Yes, you do. Randy Sharp, AFA's Director of Special Projects, told the One News Now, we presented this to the shareholders and to the chairman and the board of directors over 470,000 signature petitions asking them to remain neutral in the cultural war, specifically when it addresses gay marriage and homosexual activist groups. The reception was cool, as the AFA spokesman. Blake thanked AFA for the petitions, but again, as in the past, reiterated the company's support for diversity, which includes same-gender marriage. Sharp adds, we're disappointed that Home Depot continues to close the door and not listen to the millions of customers who are offended that they're engaging in a cultural war by taking a position in favor of gay marriage.
Millions? I'm sorry. That petition only had about 500,000. Where are they getting the million?
Where are they getting the signatures?
Yeah, really.
Are they having to bribe the people or what?
They're just going through the cemetery and writing down names, probably.
Now, of course, remember the AFA is headed by Brian Fisher, a man who has publicly said that gays are Nazis, that Glee gives people AIDS, and a prospective presidential candidate should hate gays more than they already do.
If Glee gives me AIDS, it gives people AIDS, then why haven't I gotten it once? I watched the first episode, and that's it.
But
I should have gotten
it.
Safe,
then.
Yeah. So then you're basically saying that little kids that sit there in front of the TV is going to get it. Oh, please.
That's part of their over-exaggeration on that.
Yeah, yeah, it's over-exaggeration obviously. And very stupid and closed-minded.
We're talking about the AFA here. Come on now.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, let's talk about a little something a little closer to home. Queerty talk here. Quiet in the Wings. That's you. Texas A&M deemed too anti-queer to host a transgendered conference.
Well, duh.
Oh, Texas A&M. Oh, Queerty. Oh, Texas A&M, you're a red-blooded embarrassment to the Lone Star State's LGBTs. Not only do your conservative students have no idea what real gay porn looks like, but they spend their time voting in the Student Senate to cut your school's funding for the Gay Center in half. So is it any wonder that your school has been deemed too unsafe to host the third annual Texas Transgender Non-Discrimination Summit? No. No, it's not. That's why they're holding it at the University of Houston instead.
Oh, awesome.
So it's going to be a little... The cute thing is Queerty had found this picture of a man in his cadet uniform holding very tightly a muscle-bound, shirtless guy who's...
Yummy.
Mouth is pressed to the cadet's ear. Possibly, you know, I possibly tongue as well. I can't tell from this angle, but...
Of course, tongue's out.
So, and the guy next to him is, and his arm is wrapped around him, so,
Okay, Mark, you can start drooling over there. I can hear it.
So, let's see. A little news from TV show land. Seth
oh?
Here. There's a new show coming up on MTV called Teen Wolf, apparently.
They've finally decided to make a TV series.
I don't know if it's based off of the Teen Wolf movies of...
Because it was a Saturday morning cartoon, even, I remember.
Well, that, of the Michael J. Fox movies or something like that, or if it's just, you know,
Everyone's doing vampires. Let's do werewolves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. Now what?
Well, one of the stars of it is having a little bit of an issue because of his past. Remember, kids, what you do is those youthful indiscretions may come back to haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that picture you sent to that person on their phone didn't just make the rounds, you know?
Oh, this is more than just that.
Oh.
Several blogs have received notices from Brian J. Friedman, an attorney claiming to represent actor Colton Haynes, threatening legal action if they do not remove the, quote, private, obscene, lewd, and pornographic photographs, unquote, of Haynes kissing another guy.
Big deal.
So what? I mean,
now, the images he took as a minor for the March 2006 issue of the gay photo mag XY.
Oh.
This wouldn't have anything to do with the fact of Haynes' new MTV show Teen Wolf is debuting this weekend, wouldn't?
Hmm.
We would say,
I wonder.
We would say Haynes is pulling a Dustin Zito, except for the fact Haynes' pictures weren't even remotely pornographic or private. The Teen Wolf has apparently hired a teen lawyer. You remember Dustin Zito, right before his appearance on Real World Las Vegas, the search for more ratings, the gay porn studio that he used to wank for made a sad attempt to remove his gay porn images from the internet.
Yeah, those are all over the weblogs now.
We still have the safe for work versions of those images, but the XY pictures of Haynes don't feature any sex or nudity at all. They just show Haynes swapping spit with another guy.
Big deal.
And also, if these so-called private pics ran in XY magazine, which had a pretty high circulation in its heyday, then they fall under First Amendment protections for fair use. That's why we're posting some of them here for you in our handy gallery. But that's the only iceberg tip of this fishiness surrounding this lawyer. But if you want to know, you know that you'll have to read the whole story detail over at Door Q, where we got the above image. Download them while they're hot, because you'll never know when they'll be gone forever. Basically, if you have the XY magazine that the title on the front cover was shocking, apparently he's one of the half-naked guys on the front, and then inside he's in a hot tub with another guy.
Ooh.
And another picture here, he's kissing him.
Mm.
So just remember, kids, like I said, you know, those pictures you took early in life may come back to...
Yeah, be careful next time you distribute one of those mirror pictures on the internet, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, basically
pictures when I was underage? What's that? It's called I Didn't Have Any, I Don't Think.
At least you hope not, huh?
Yeah, I hope anyway. Nobody took any.
like I said, I didn't have many topics here, but it's one that was somewhat a little interesting.
This is the purpose of the community right now.
Wanda Sykes, who came out a couple of years ago, introducing her wife and adopted children, was on... Oh, that's why no one ever saw. He was on Piers' show on
Piers Morgan.
Piers Morgan over on CNN.
Oh, he's trying to be Larry King.
But Wanda Sykes was on the show and made a comment that some people might have issues with. I think it would stir a lot more controversy. To a certain point, I believe it's harder to be gay than black. I'm not talking about the history of African Americans today. I'm talking about at this point now. I don't know of organizations and groups like Focus on the Family and such anti-gay organizations who are putting so much money, millions and millions of dollars, into stopping me from being black or telling me that I can't exercise my blackness or whatever. So it is. There is no equality. There's no equality for the LGBT community. This was lesbian community Wanda Sykes talking to CNN's Piers Morgan about her coming out and Wienergate, among other things. So it's interesting because there is a lot of that topic in the discussion, especially with Prop 8, the discussion that because of Barack Obama being on the ballot, brought up more African Americans to vote, and they would vote normally conservative in a social issue like gay marriage, and they helped vote down Prop 8 while they were voting in Barack Obama. And so there's a lot of talk about that thing, but it's interesting having someone of Wanda Sykes' stature, I guess, of making a comment on that, of the issues of that situation.
You know, I could kind of see where she's coming from here, that, you know, we have a long way to go as a community. The LGBT community has a long way to go before we reach acceptance. I can understand what she's saying. You know?
Yeah, we do have a long way to go, mostly because there is a lot of hate toward us that is propagated, and I don't really see the reason. I mean, if you look around, there are queers, well, actually, more so, people of the LGBT community all around everybody. They don't realize it, though. For one thing, also, we're some of the nicest people in the world. Why would you want to hate us? We just want the same rights as everybody else. We want everything the same. Even marriage. I mean, they're trying to deny us marriage and everything, and that comes with all the good points and all the bad points. Do they realize that?
I find it ironic, though, that the issue of gay marriage was a wedge issue that was created after Lawrence v. Texas was overturned.
Yeah, and there's going to be several wedge issues that are going to come into play in politics there, because there's so many of them that are still out in play. You know, DOMA, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, depending on how far along that advances. You know, the only thing we can hope for in our community is that they pick on a different type of wedge topic, which with the Tea Party is going to be more leaning probably towards immigration and debt and all those stuff. And
so the recovery.
Yeah. So they're going to be, you know, doing their yelling in that process, and that's going to hopefully make...
I have a feeling all of that's going to collapse in on itself sooner or later, though.
Yeah.
But then, like I said, the funny thing is that saying that she was talking about Wienergate...
Oh, yeah. Speaking of hypocrisy.
It's not real, you know.
Well, okay.
I don't know, giving the benefit of the doubt, I mean, I think he just should have just came out and said, look, yeah, that's me. Because I love what some of the talk show hosts have been saying about saying, look, if that picture was being attributed to me, I would admit it was me. Because that, you know, it was impressive, according to them. Lawrence O'Donnell was said he would have been very proud to say that was his shorts. John Stewart is a friend of Representative Wiener, and was supposedly roommates with him, from what I understand. And I think his comment was there. I don't know, when I knew him, when I was staying with him, there was a lot more Anthony and a lot less Wiener.
Nice.
For those of you who don't know, apparently, someone hacked into his Twitter account and sent out a tweet to a 22-year-old college student in California. Now, this is all because of somebody was keeping a close eye on Anthony Weiner's Twitter account, because he felt he had proof that the representative was chatting up young women and some underage women, allegedly. They wouldn't say it, but they were hinting at it enough of drilling it in on Fox, of, you know, in suggestive detail. And basically, I think what it's coming down to is that he's very strong in the House, even though it looks like he will be wanting to leave the House and become mayor of New York when Bloomberg is not able to run again. And so it's kind of these little things of, well, we've had a lot of Republican sex scandals lately. Well, what can we find on
the Democrats?
Democrats, and you're not going to find a whole lot, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just should have came out and said, you know, yeah, it's me. I mean, he's playing coy about that. You know, he can still use the story. You know, the thing was hacked, but he said, you know, yeah, it's a picture I took. It was a joke. I was, you know, chatting up my wife. It was left in my BlackBerry. Someone broke into it and sent this picture off. And, you know.
Yeah. Because there's instances where my friends have stayed logged in on other people's computers, or their phone's been lost. And I've seen some crazy posts, you know, that my friend, and I'm like, yeah. I know my friend didn't post that. That was somebody else, you know. And I've even seen some that were hacked with spam, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know. Just come out, Anthony. It's yours. I mean, I can understand he's a little bit of, you know, upset with it, because, you know, he has spent a lifetime of having to live down that last name of Wiener.
Right.
And, you know, to have this come up in...
No pun intended, I'm sure.
Adulthood, and yeah, I mean, all the jokes about it, and
I think one of the best ones I kept hearing about it was, you don't know it's yours. I mean, you've had it for 40-something years. I think you'd be intimately known with it.
Did somebody start with the, is its first name O-S-C-A-R?
But, we are
coming. Well,
yeah?
You don't see it from that angle.
No, it was a point of view angle. It was,
yes, see?
No, it was like,
I see.
It was not a frontal. It was like the person was holding the camera and took the picture of themselves.
So, okay, yeah, you see that a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I forget who was the one comedian who said there, I mean, I know my penis like the front of my hand that I use on it.
Yeah.
there you go.
You know,
spank that monkey.
And then that's the part. I mean, that's part of the hypocrisy we talk about. It's like, you know, if he would have just came out and said, "Yeah, it's mine. Somebody hacked into my account," and that would have just shut down Brett Bart.
Yes,
who is the one who's leading the campaign on this? Who is, you know, Brett Bart's the one who took out Shirley Sherrod from the Obama administration, and like some people have been liking to point out there of. At one time, he was rumored to be the lover of Matt Drudge from the Drudge Report.
No.
Yeah. Which was an interesting little storyline I saw over on... you can read that story over on Queerty.
Okay.
Queerty.com, Q-U-E-E-R-T-Y.com, where they talk about Matt Drudge, the famous... he was the blogger that helped really push the Lewinsky Gate.
Right, I remember that.
And talking about his going out to gay bars.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it about time?
It's about time. Oh, it's past time. You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale. You know how to get in touch with us. I could do the PSA. It's
been, okay.
We missed them last time. We'll be back next week. Happy Pride, Will.
Dirty yeah. Pictures!
KPFT is pleased to announce new programming. Now with an HD radio receiver, you can get KPFT's great music, news, and public affairs with a richer, crisper sound on HD1. On KPFT HD2, listen to Rice University Radio with the unique programming that made KTRU a gem on the dial. On KPFT HD3, you'll hear your favorites in new time slots, including Democracy Now!, Al Jazeera English, Uprising, Explorations, Alternative Radio, and more. HD Radio allows you to hear multiple programs through additional digital channels. The sound is crisper than FM, and your choices are expanded. Visit kpft.org to learn more about HD Radio broadcasting and program schedules. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1, and now alternative programming on HD 2 and 3. KPFT, Houston.
1 plus 1 is 2. 2 plus 2 is 4. And if the yolk's still a little runny, that's what you call fried over easy. Always talk quietly in the library. How you give a Zerbert? Some people have innies, some people have outies. Here's the church. Here.